Welcome back, Bud Light Port Paradise.
Here we go.
Bud Light Port Paradise, with two cruise ships, 4,000 shipments, and one private island concert. Find out how to get on board at facebook.com/Bud Light. Here we go.
And that was just the first night.
Figure out solutions to the nation's debt ceiling and deficit problems. CNN's Dan Lothian has more.
There have been some in Washington talking about possibly having a mini deal whereby they have 6 or 8 months to really hammer out a long-term deal. The president making it clear that that's not something he will support. I pushed spokesman Jay Carney on that, whether at the last minute if this is something the president would embrace, and he said no.
President Obama has lifted a ban many argued was an insensitive policy. Condolence letters will now be sent to families of troops who commit suicide while deployed in combat zones like Iraq and Afghanistan. Flights were delayed and visibility was poor in parts of Arizona last night, the result of a massive dust storm.
There was reports that the dust storm was miles high and wide, and it just kind of swept through the Phoenix metro area.
Jenna Shaver with Arizona Public Service says the storm also took out power to thousands. Power has been restored for many. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and wow, did the ladies love you. Now, you fall asleep on the couch, irritable, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 61% and maintain healthy, normal levels. No injections, no appointments. With healthy testosterone levels, you can feel that energy again, that great outlook again, and yes, even a healthy sex drive. Right now, you can try Ageless Male risk-free. There's nothing to lose, guys. If you're a man who's noticed changes in your body, your mood, your sex life, call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male. Be the guy you used to be. Just call 1-800-741-0439. Don't wait another day. Just call 1-800-741-0439. Again, 1-800-741-0439.
Even as other tech firms look to public stock sales to raise money, Twitter is again headed to the private funding market. There are reports the social blogging site looks to raise hundreds of millions of dollars from private investors following a $200 million round of financing just last December. This round of funding would value Twitter at about $7 billion. And with all the interest in tech companies and talk of a tech startup boom, perks abound for workers of many of these companies as they party like it's 1999. According to the Wall Street Journal, Facebook sponsors an annual game day in which the whole company competes in schoolyard classics like kickball and capture the flag. Tech game maker Zynga serves lunch and dinner daily to its employees. The company say perks help them attract talented workers. Just when the Greek situation was put aside for now, stock traders are dealing with a drop in Portugal's debt rating that has European shares falling. S&P and NASDAQ futures are both down about 5 points. I'm Steve Potusk from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
High gas prices continue to drain wallets.
The question? How will you pay to fuel up?
Crude oil prices remain at record levels.
Tonight's top story, America feeling pain at the pump.
With gas prices so high, how will you fill your tank? It's a question millions of people are asking themselves right now. As an alternative, Americans from all across the country are turning to public transportation as an affordable, dependable option to get them to work, school, and medical care. But Congress is proposing to cut public transportation investments right as our country needs them most. If that happens, our infrastructure won't be ready for the increased ridership, and commuters could be left stranded. Act now at publictransportation.org to tell Congress we need more public transportation, not less. That's publictransportation.org. A message from the American Public Transportation Association.
The last thing I need carpooling this lively bunch is a dead battery. The Cirrus Blue Automotive Crew offers to check my battery before there's a problem, so I feel confident my car will start every time.
Come into Sears Auto Center for a $19.99 oil change with coupon and no shop fees. And through July 9th, save on all Michelin tires and get up to $70 after mail-in rebate with a purchase of 4. Plus, automotive batteries are as low as $49.98. Sears Auto Center. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Offer end dates vary from 7/9 to 7/16.
Here's another question from the Geico Savings Mailbag.
David from St. Paul writes, my son's wondering if you'll come to his class so he can get extra credit on his biology test.
Extra credit?
Well, if there are any questions on that test about who can make it easy to save money by combining your RV and car insurance,
which is an unlikely question for a biology test,
then the answer is Geico.
True.
For all other questions about RV insurance, I like to guess answer G, E-I-C-O.
Call Geico or visit geico.com today.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Solidarity, a union of interests or purposes or sympathies among members of a group. Union, the state of being united, an organization of workers. Justice, the administering of deserved punishment or reward. Fairness, free from dishonesty or injustice. Equality, the state of quality of being equal. First Shift with Tony Tripiano. It's about freaking time.
Good morning and happy Wednesday to all of you. A wall-to-wall, jam-packed First Shift program for you today. And thank you for punching in. A pleasure to be with you as always as we're going to work our way through some pretty important information, including the conclusion of our interview with author Bruce Levine and his book, Get Up, Stand Up. But that doesn't mean that we are done with the book, Get Up, Stand Up. We began giving away what will be 20 copies when all told. And we gave away 4 yesterday, and we'll be giving away more stuff today. We still have documentaries to give away. We still have the books, Get Up, Stand Up, to give away. And we have 2 sets of tickets to the Liz Winstad show this Saturday at the Eagle Theater in Pontiac, which is a fundraiser for Planned Parenthood of Michigan. She's one funny lady. And, of course, some of you may know her as the co-creator and head writer of The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. And so we've got a lot of good stuff to give away today. And, again, the first 5 callers today will get some stuff. And coming up here in a couple very short weeks, maybe even sooner than that, we're going to have some First Shift baseball caps as well as some coffee mugs and bumper stickers. So lots of good stuff coming your way. Our First Shift Facebook poll question of the day today has to do with what was the breaking news yesterday, and that is that Casey Anthony was found not guilty of killing her daughter. And that has created quite a controversy. I don't even know. I really didn't even know how to position this, but we're going to get to that in just a few minutes. Just kind of crazy. But you know what? It begins to, again, illuminate and, of course, brought me back and many others to the OJ verdict where people were stunned. But there is this thing called a burden of proof. And if you don't meet that burden, you know, that's when the system, well, frankly, works, even though we don't think it's working. And so it gets to be a little problematic. Anyway, of course, you're always welcome to join us. And, you know, feel free to do that. We're paying for the call. 888-552-3595, 888-552-3595. The email address, tony@thetonyshow.org. Before we get to our lineup today, before we get to some audio, we want to share with you some stories. And I got to tell you, it's kind of scary because the governor did an interview, not with me. What are you people thinking? The governor did an interview. I'm going to get into a little bit of that. He did it with MLive, Peter Luke from MLive.com. This guy's really got a set, I tell you. A few screws loose as well. I'm having a more and more difficult time showing any respect for Governor Snyder as I see what he's doing to the state of Michigan and how it's severely affecting our citizens. And there's no question that's true. But as we do every morning at this time, we turn our attention to my Detroit Tigers, who, Mr. Radford, were quite a disappointment last night. I appreciate the spectacular and thrilling pitching performance of Justin Verlander. Certainly that doesn't lessen what he's done. But at the end of the day, you've got to win ball games in order to make the playoffs. We didn't win last night in a 1-0 loss, and it's just disappointing. And frankly, I'm, again, concerned what's happening with us offensively.
Yeah, that's at the end of the day, you got to score runs. You can't go on to Anaheim or L.A. and play the Angels.
Dude, you can't go to Toledo and not score runs and win.
Right. Well, I mean, and again, I mean, Anaheim's that way. They've been, that's their M.O. for a while now, is the fact that they, I mean, they rely on manufacturing runs. They're basically like a National League team in the American League. They got guys who can get on base and make things happen, and they manufacture runs. And then you've got to score runs, and Dan Heron was lights out last night.
Yeah, he sure was. Again, very disappointing. I didn't watch the game. I know Todd did. He was telling us before the show started today. It just, you know, just one of those things where, especially when on the West Coast, I don't even bother because I know that that's not where I need to be. I need to be in bed sleeping. And it wasn't worth, you know, again, I enjoy a good pitching performance and, you know, I guess I can go watch the highlights of Verlander's loss yesterday. But, you know, there were a couple of records on the line, personal Detroit Tiger records with regard to winning streaks and so on and so forth. It's all a moot point now, so I'm not going to walk through what could have been because it doesn't matter. Would have been nice to have him get the victory, of course. Justin Verlander having a career season. And just got to be real pleased. You know, we really haven't had or didn't discuss yesterday the firing of Rick Knapp, and I was kind of curious your thoughts on that. Firing the pitching coach mid-season, you know, is it really about five games where we get the living bejesus beat out of us? You know, is there any benefit to replacing your pitching coach mid-season?
Not that I can see. I mean, unless the only thing I can think of is, and it kind of came out yesterday, or at least people's thoughts on it, is something happened where he's not allowing the pitchers to do something, and so the pitchers got together. And we're not just talking one or two. I mean, obviously Verlander's had success, so I doubt it was Verlander stepping up and saying, hey, you know, whatever. But there are some guys who have regressed, and I think maybe they, you know, said something and decided, you know, hey, we need to be able to pitch the way we want to be able to pitch. We're having a difference of philosophy. And maybe it didn't come down to, well, we need him fired, but something needs to happen, and then things were said. I think it's more than just the Tigers using him as a scapegoat, because it's not like it's not working. It's not like, you know, you fire the pitching coach and the media is going to be like, okay, at least you did something. No, instead, people are saying, boy, this is the Tigers grasping for straws.
Right. Well, and Drew Sharp of the Detroit Free Press said that it showed a sign of panic. I don't know that I see it as panic, but that was an interesting comment. Oh, you know, we'll take it for what it's worth. Anyway, the Tigers lost. No news on the NFL front either, Jeff, and that's just starting to get really... I know they met yesterday, and I know they've got 4 days of talk scheduled this week. At least that's what they're publicly saying. But it would sure be nice to hear some movement going on.
Yeah, but they don't want you to hear that movement. The report that came out over the weekend was that the NFL is a lot closer than what they want the fans to believe. For some reason, it's to their strategy to make it seem like they're far apart, and I guess maybe it's so that they all get praised at the end about how quickly they came together. But apparently, they're a lot closer than they want fans to believe for some reason or whatever. That was the report that came out of, I think, Sporting News over the weekend.
Well, you know, again, I'm not going to be one of those people that's going to be grateful that they came to such a quick decision, because as far as I'm concerned, they didn't come to a quick decision. And, you know, I read, I guess it was Monday, that, you know, if they don't have this thing done by July 15th, that they're going to have to cancel half the season. And I don't buy that for a minute. I mean, not July 15th, maybe August 15th. But, you know, they just need to get this thing cleaned up and move on. I mean, they've got to get going. We've got free agency to go through yet.
Well, see, that July 15th deadline is on the assumption that since they're not, since they don't have a deal, that they haven't been talking or planning a season. And I don't think that's true. I think they've been planning everything. Just under the cover of this lockout.
I'll be profoundly disappointed if they have to modify the season at all in any way, shape, or form, unless it's preseason games. If they have to eliminate a couple preseason games, I'm fine with that. Beyond that, I'm going to be upset.
Yeah, I think that they've been planning this out the entire time. They've planned everything. I mean, they're talking 4 or 5 days a week now instead of just Sundays and then occasionally Thursdays. Or, you know, and Monday night. But, I mean, they're planning everything out, I think. And they're using this lockout to kind of keep the media away.
Well, that's all I have to say, because it's just very frustrating for me. I need football. You know, we should be talking football. We should be really getting excited about training camp would start, what, in 2 weeks?
You want to be talking football at the start of July?
Hell yeah, I do.
Man, that is that's crazy talk. I like football.
Oh, it is not crazy talk.
But to want to talk football at the 4th of July is, man, you are a true football fan.
I am a true football fan. You know, and I can coexist in that. I need baseball and football. I could actually do without all the other sports, to be honest with you. I really could do without them if they weren't there. I'd be fine without hockey.
So in December, are you fiending to talk about baseball?
Yeah. You know, what's actually kind of cool is on a competing station, they actually do a Tigers talk show at 10 o'clock, starting in January, at 10 o'clock, you know, like on Mondays. And, you know, I listen to that show.
Yeah, well, I shouldn't bring up baseball because I obviously listen. I mean, the winter meetings are like one of the greatest things ever. But, for me, that's baseball. I'm a baseball guy, though. I'm not that I'm not a football guy, but it's just right now I don't want to hear about the NFL for some reason.
Well, it's my show. You've got your own show in Ann Arbor. You do what you want in your show. I'll do what I – and stop stealing my guests, by the way.
Hey, I got you that guest.
Yeah, you're my producer. I pay you to do that.
Oh, that's true. No, I thought that we touched on other things than what we talked about on this show, so.
I see how you are. Yeah, we're going to let it go for now. All right, Jeff, thanks anyway. And all right, Tigs, come on. Let's get our stuff together. Very quickly before we get to the break, let me tell you what we've got going on today. Net neutrality rules. What does that mean? Well, there are rules to the Internet, and we're going to find out from Dr. Ev Ehrlich just what those proposed rules are and what they might mean to us. Otto Smith will join us to give us a recall or an update on the recall of Jace Bulger. You might be surprised with what she's got to say today. We'll begin a regular segment with Stephen Henderson, the editorial page editor of the Detroit Free Press. And last but not least, Bruce Levine will be with us, author of the book Get Up, Stand Up, as we conclude our two-part series on his amazing book. Again, if you join us at any time throughout the show today, well, the first five of you anyway, you got a plethora of gifts. We'll tell you what those are on the other side. 888-552-3595. Good morning. Tony Trupiano with you on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
We spend federal money to save money. Where is the limit? I think we could reach a point of absurdity.
I think you just did.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Our total traffic update brought to you by McDonald's. Our earlier accident, 696 near Orchard Lake, looks like that accident has cleared now. Traffic coming in along the Reuther from Telegraph out to 275. You're going to find that whole route is clear of the earlier problems that were really giving us big delays. We were down to one lane at one point, but all of that is now reopened.
Drive through McDonald's and grab a new French Vanilla Frappe. It's a refreshing, slow-sipping experience that's full of sweet, rich vanilla flavor from the first sip to the last, topped with whipped cream and caramel drizzle. Try a new French Vanilla Frappe today. Only available at McDonald's.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Chance of scattered thunderstorms today. Our high near 88 tonight. A chance of storms. A low near 64. Tomorrow, all sun and a high near 82. Right now, over cast in 70 degrees at the airport. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Wish there was a place to go for information from real parents who have been there? Real parents that give you helpful, unbiased information and judgment-free advice? Hi, I'm Stacey Bachman, and on the My Great Kid Radio Show, we bring you interviews with top parenting, education, money, health, and life experts, along with the best tips, techniques, and newest information to make your life less hectic, more productive, and more satisfying. If you've got a family, the My Great Kid Radio Show is for you.
The My Great Kid Radio Show.
Saturdays at 9 a.m. here on WDTW and on the web at mygreatkid.com.
Want to save on gas this summer? Use your Discover card and get 5% cash back bonus when you fill up all summer long. Limitations apply. For more details and to sign up, visit discover.com. It pays to get more. It pays to discover. All of Michigan's top newsmakers talk to Tony Trupiano.
Joining us now is Debbie Stabenow.
Good morning, Tony. It's always great to be with you.
Former Michigan Congressman Mark Schauer.
It's great to be with you, Tony.
Cindy Estrada joins us.
Thank you for having me.
State Representative Harvey Santana. You're a rock star, Bert Bernero.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much. You're too kind, Tony.
And my good friend, Congressman Hanson Clark. Welcome to First Shift.
Tony, it's great to be on your show.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9 on 1310 WDTW.
Come on in. Oh, let me help you with that.
Thanks. I got the wine and the dessert. The steaks smell delicious. And look at the flowers. You always have such beautiful, fresh flowers. You must spend a fortune at the florist.
I grow them in my basement. I bought a hydroponic system from Light Green Water. It just takes a little time and some electricity. And it's not just the flowers. I grew the greens for our salad and a couple of vegetables. Come on, I'll show you.
Wow. It's so warm and sunny. It's like being on a tropical island.
Wait until I turn on the sound machine.
It's like you've got your own private Garden of Eden. Maybe we should dress like Adam and Eve.
Light Green Water has everything you need to grow a garden inside your home. Light Green Water is located at 3661 Highland Road in Waterford. That's M59, a quarter mile west of Cass Lake Road. Light Green Water, hydroponic equipment and supplies.
The best value? Simple. It's the one that lasts. Like the Midas Secure Stop Brake Service. New brake pads or shoes, just $99.99 per axle installed, with a guarantee good for as long as you own your car. New brake pads or shoes installed, just $99.99 per axle. Midas. Total car care. Total customer care.
Additional parts, labor, shop fees, and taxes extra. Most vehicles. See manager for guarantee terms. A participating Detroit area Midas.
Don't adjust your radio. This transmission is meant for you. It's First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 6 o'clock on this Wednesday morning. Man, these short weeks sure do make it go by quickly, do they not? You know, just a couple quick reminders, because I've got some speaking engagements coming up. For those of you that might be out and about, you might want to come by and say hello. And I don't actually, I need to start getting them all written down, because the list is growing. I mean, the list is growing exponentially, which is kind of fun. I will, this Saturday, be at the Lapeer County Courthouse for their rally in support of democracy. It is a nonpartisan rally in support of democracy, so I'm looking forward to that. Then Saturday evening, although it's not a speaking engagement, I'll be attending the Liz Winstad show at the Eagle Theater in Pontiac with my lovely wife, Ann, and I'm looking forward to that. And then next week, Wednesday, I believe, but the 13th, whatever day that is, I will be at the Teamsters Temple in Port Huron for the St. Clair County Democrats meeting, and they're going to have a dinner, and I'm the keynote speaker, so looking forward to joining them. Then that following weekend, I will be at the Troy Democratic Club's annual picnic, which is going to be quite an event, so I understand. They've asked me actually to co-MC that event, and so I'm looking forward to that. And then I've got on the 21st, we'll be out at Black Penny, which is a restaurant in Rochester. Bruce Felk from the Rochester Citizen has asked me to come join them with their Drinking Liberally group that meets on a monthly basis. So I will be out there, and there are others. So if you'd like me to come speak at your event or at a union meeting, if you just want to get some neighbors together, I don't care. I'm happy to meet with you folks. I love to get out into the community. Just send me an email and let me know. Tony@thetonyshow.org. Tony@thetonyshow.org. And as long as I've got the time available, I love to give it to you. And I love to meet with audience members. And so I'm happy to do that. In fact, I do know that I've got the Wyandotte Democratic Club picnic on August 8th as well. How you like that, Radford? I got a pretty full social calendar there, do I not?
I'm impressed.
And I actually got all that out of my head. I didn't even have any of that written down. That's what you should really be impressed by. But I really enjoy that. I know that you don't often get a chance to get out and meet listeners, although you do some, you know, some live remotes for the WDFN from time to time. As you know, it's a lot of fun to meet people that listen to the show.
Sometimes, yeah, I can imagine. Sometimes I can imagine it might not be.
I've never really had a problem, to be honest with you. People that don't like you rarely show up. And again, I'm going to the kind of events where, again, a lot of Democrats are there. I'm going to union meetings, and so it's a pretty friendly audience for the most part. So I've never really had too much of a problem. Now that I've said that, and I've just laid out my social calendar, now I'm in trouble, aren't I?
Now the bullseye's out.
Yeah, now the bullseye's out. But anyway, I'm very much looking forward to that and want to invite people that listen to the show if you'd like me to come speak at an event. When I was doing my last incarnation in radio, you know, there are people that would just put together a little, evening garden thing, and we would sit and drink iced tea and talk politics, and I enjoy doing that. It just doesn't matter. I like to get out, and so I want to thank everybody that's invited me. Jeff, Casey Anthony, of course, was acquitted yesterday of murder in the first degree of her daughter, Kaylee. And a lot of controversy, of course, surrounding that. And I know that you did not follow it at all or very closely, nor did I. So I don't want to paint this as something that it's not. But it is major news and certainly does deserve some time this morning on First Shift. Just from a reaction standpoint, I've been kind of fascinated by the anger, the vitriol that people are having over this verdict. But I guess, like I said before the break, when you look at the justice system, you have to ask yourself the question, did the system work or did it fail us in this case?
Who knows? People are comparing it to OJ. And that's why I first turned the news on, is because people are saying, here we go again, another murderer gets off. And so I started watching CNN and the verdict. And there's a lot of people who just think that they got this completely wrong.
Yeah, well, they do. But, again, as I watched and listened throughout the afternoon as I had time, because I had a really, really kind of crazy afternoon yesterday, some of the commentary that I was able to garner was that, the burden of proof was not met, that there was all circumstantial evidence, there was no DNA evidence, and no witnesses. And so as a juror, you're given specific, direction. When you are considering, and again, we're talking about the potential for the death penalty here because this is Florida. So knowing that, Jeff, and being a jury on this trial, you do have to ask yourself, I would think, some very, very difficult questions, would you not?
But do you follow through with the not guilty plea, or is there a way you can get out? I mean, because I know that they were saying, well, now that they've said not guilty, there's no way they can try it again. Say
correct.
DNA comes out or something else comes out later on and they find out, guess what? She did do it. She was already tried. They didn't acquit it.
Well,
they didn't mistry it. I mean,
well, if let's say there was DNA evidence that proved or puts her there, they couldn't, because there is double jeopardy, so she couldn't stand trial for first-degree murder. That's not to say that they couldn't charge her with second-degree murder or negligent manslaughter. I mean, there are other things they can charge her with, just not the same charge. But listen, there is no DNA evidence. They of course went through that crime scene with a fine-tooth comb. We will probably never know the truth. There's no question about that. But let's listen to some audio. And actually, I'd like to take cut two first, Jeff. The verdict that was read in the court.
Will the defendant rise along with counsel? Madam Clerk, you may publish the verdicts.
In the Circuit Court for the Ninth Judicial Circuit in and for Orange County, Florida, State of Florida versus Casey Marie Anthony, as to case number 2008-CF-15606-0. As to the charge of first-degree murder, verdict as to count one, we the jury find the defendant not guilty. As to the charge of aggravated child abuse, verdict as to count two, we the jury find the defendant not guilty. As to the charge of aggravated manslaughter of a child, verdict as to count three, we the jury find the defendant not guilty. As to the charge of providing false information to a law enforcement officer, verdict as to count four, we the jury find the defendant guilty of providing false information to a law enforcement officer as charged in the indictment.
All right, now, Jeff, according to what I just heard now, they did charge her with multiple counts, and so it looks like they've covered their bases and lost on every one. So you're right, she's done. She's in the clear.
They actually went on with, I think, a 7 counts, and she was only found guilty of lying to
lying to the police. Now, it's my understanding that the maximum penalty for that is 4 years. She's already served 3 as she's been standing trial. So if the judge, when the sentencing is tomorrow, if the judge sentences her to 4 years, then there's a chance that she would serve another year. If he sentences her to, you know, time already served, she could go home tomorrow. The question is, how long before she's naked in Playboy and making millions of dollars? Because you know that's coming. Something's going to happen here. More reaction to the Casey Anthony verdict. We're going to hear from our friend. He's a friend of everybody, I assure you. Bernie Sanders, Senator from Vermont, the only independent in the Senate. I'm Tony Trupiano. This is First Shift. Thanks for punching in. We'll take the break and be back on 1310 WDTW.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Our total traffic update includes all good news. Still doing very well as you're coming in I-75 near 696. And, of course, 696 is all clear now as you head out near Orchard Lake from that earlier accident that was giving us some pretty big delays. Coming in 96 eastbound, we're picking up for those trying to come in toward Novi and 275 and not seeing any big backups yet.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, chance of scattered thunderstorms today, our high near 88. Tonight, a chance of storms, a low near 64. Tomorrow, all sun and a high near 82. Right now, overcast and 70 degrees at the airport. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell. Sting is saying, "Don't stand so close to me," to the state oil company of Kazakhstan. The rocker canceled a concert planned in the country to show his solidarity with oil workers who have been on strike. In a statement, the former frontman of The Police said, "Hunger strikes, imprisoned workers, and tens of thousands on strike represents a virtual picket line, which I have no intention of crossing." Sting has long been a supporter of Amnesty International, which is the organization that petitioned Sting to reconsider hosting a concert in the country. The workers have been on strike since May 26th. And Sting had planned to play at a festival celebrating the founding of the country's capital, Astana. Should U.S. labor have a more radical response to the anti-labor movement? Doug Cunningham reports.
Laborers International Union of North America President Terrence O'Sullivan says it's time for a more radical labor movement in light of the strong attacks on fundamental labor rights. O'Sullivan's remarks came during the 125th anniversary of May Day, commemorated in Chicago's Haymarket Square. It was a rededication of the newly restored monument at the grave of the 4 Haymarket martyrs, executed in 1887 for the Haymarket bombing. That bombing happened during a rally for the 8-hour day.
Just as the men and women of Haymarket stood united and stood fearless in the face of corporate terror, today we must stand united and stand fearless in the face of corporate tyranny. Instead of being at the wrong end of a Pinkerton's baton, working men and women today are at the wrong end of a lawmaker's gavel or a governor's pen. Targets of wealthy special interests who don't want us standing in the way of their greedy agenda. When we're fighting just to hold on to our very lives, there is no movement too radical. And there is no movement to militants.
Yeah. Yeah. O'Sullivan Audio, courtesy of WORT Radio in Madison.
Michigan has long had one of the highest unemployment rates in the country. The last time the state saw a rate not in the double digits was in November of 2008. However, Michigan Republican and House Ways and Means Committee Chair Dave Camp plans to move forward on 3 free trade agreements Thursday without the consideration of a plan by the Obama administration to extend aid for workers who lose jobs to overseas competition. President Barack Obama has suggested he won't move forward with the trade agreements unless they include the aid for U.S. workers, which expired in February of this year.
Workers Independent News puts workers and their unions on the national radio news airwaves every day. To help keep labor's voice on the air, go to laborradio.org.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
My favorite way to wake up in the morning is with Tony Trupiano. And First Shift, First Shift, First Shift on 1310 WDTW.
I'm totally now here's shocked Tony. At what just happened. I don't know all the laws, but it almost sounds to me like she could be walking out of there today. And I'm in total shock. I mean, everything that's happened, it's basically like you almost have to film and watch somebody commit a crime and have it on video for something to happen today. It's just disturbing. I don't know what else to say. I don't know. I got to get out of here. It's bothering me.
I can't believe this. To a child, that's disgusting. This is disgusting.
You don't agree with the jury?
No, not at all.
Chris is dead.
I don't think anybody here agrees.
Come on. It's just shocking. I don't know. It's just, I don't watch anything like this, but it's the little girl. It's just wrong. This is her life gone. It's gone.
I'm in shock because I thought that she would get the death penalty, which I'm glad that she did not get. I think she's guilty. Those Anthonys better not be the grieving grandmothers anymore. This is not justice for their baby. Where are their heads? This is disgusting. Baby, what about her? Would you like to be in a trunk with tape on your mouth? Who else could put that baby in that trunk? She had the car key. Who put that baby in that car?
And, you know, that's just some of the reaction. And Jeff, obviously people very emotional about this, as they should be. I mean, I'm a parent. I can't fathom that my child would have to ever go through anything like that, God forbid. And so I understand the anger. I truly do. Again, our Facebook First Shift poll question of the day is on this issue. How do you feel about... How do you feel about this verdict? I think, you know, the controversy will continue for some time to come. I think this is a long way from being over. A long way from being over. So we shall see. We shall see. But again, the reaction is stunning. As you know, Jeff, Nancy Grace, who does her own show on CNN, has kind of become the face of these... I guess we'll call them celebrity trials. I don't know what any other way to really, you know, describe them, because these people do become celebrities at some level in a celebrity obsessed world. And, you know, she was her reaction. Did you see any of her stuff?
No, actually, I didn't. I heard that, you know, that's the person to watch because she's been following it the most, but I didn't see what her reaction was.
You would have thought that. I don't even know how to describe it. Her reaction was so extreme, and I'm sure there's audio. I'm sure there's video and audio out there, but it was absolutely. She was totally, totally outraged by this. Couldn't freaking believe it. Couldn't believe it. I mean, she's in denial. She may end up in therapy over this.
And you saw the defense lawyers when they first came out to make their first statement. They basically berated the media.
Oh, of course.
I mean, that was the weirdest, surreal part of it all. Is like, even though your client got off, you're not happy about, you know, the fact that, in your opinion, an innocent person is not going to jail, and that should be something to be happy about. Or how about the sorrow of the fact that the innocent person that you claim to, or the alleged innocent person or whatever, still lost a daughter out of this? The first reaction is that you berate the media for not knowing what the, quote, what the hell they're talking about, and that they have no business reporting on what they don't know about. And that was, and basically just puffing your chest. That was the first reaction of the defense lawyers.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if, and we may know this is as early as tomorrow. If any of the jurors will come out and do media interviews and we'll, you know, try to get some kind of explanation for this. But obviously people are outright raged. I've yet, and in fact, although I've been a little surprised, we've only had two respondents to the poll so far this morning. And generally we have, you know, more than that. And I realize that the poll is kind of off our normal topics, but I thought we would have had a bigger response. But it's one person said yes, they're shocked. One person said no. That's not the question. One person said the jury got it wrong. One person said they did not get it wrong. So, again, this goes back to burden of proof and law and jurisprudence and things that, we may not like. You know, there are things that you don't like about the law, but it's supposed to be impartial. And, again, the question is, does this prove that the justice system works or fails us? I don't have the answer to that. I don't. But it sure is an intriguing question. No doubt about that. All right, we'll move on. Senator Bernie Sanders gave an impassioned 10,000-word speech on the floor of the United States Senate last week. It didn't get as much coverage as I would have hoped. It didn't get as much coverage because how do you take a 2-hour speech and, accurately report it? Well, I don't know that you can. I mean, there is in this soundbite world, no matter how eloquent a speech is, it's not going to get that kind of coverage, unfortunately, any longer. And it deserved that coverage. But Bernie Sanders, and what show was this on? Was this on Hardball yesterday?
The show at 9 o'clock with Chuck Todd on MSNBC.
Okay, so it was on right after our program yesterday. Chuck Todd's, of course, the political director of NBC News and MSNBC. Senator Bernie Sanders was on there. And he spoke about lots of different issues. I just want to play some of the audio and get you some reaction, to give you some of my reaction to what he had to say. In this first cut, he talks about Libya.
Well, I'm going to take a hard look at it. I have never been terribly enthusiastic about American involvement in Libya. We're in a war in Iraq. We're in a war in Afghanistan. We're spending a huge amount of money on both of those wars. We're taking casualties. My own view is enough.
All right, and again, Bernie Sanders, for those of you that don't know, is an independent from Vermont. And he's truly an independent, although he votes with the Democrats 99% of the time. He is a true independent, and you would be stunned if you were to do a little homework on him. In fact, those of you that listen to the Tom Hartman show, that's heard right here from noon to 3 on 1310 WDTW, know Bernie Sanders because he every Friday is on with Tom, and they do a segment called Brunch with Bernie. And it's pretty fantastic stuff. In this next cut, well, those two words, shared sacrifice, come up again. We've heard it, of course, from our own Governor Snyder. What does it mean to Senator Bernie Sanders?
I really have to tell you, Chuck, I think the budget is what people are worried about. And what I am very concerned about is a Republican budget which said, we're going to cut trillions of dollars in programs for the most vulnerable people in this country. At the same time, we're giving huge tax breaks to the wealthiest people. I just put up a letter on my website, sanders.senate.gov, a week ago. We have 110,000 signatures that says that this country needs shared sacrifice if we go forward with deficit reduction, that at a time when the wealthiest people and the largest corporations are doing phenomenally well, you know what? They're going to have to participate. Right now, you have major corporations, General Electric, among many others, making billions of dollars in profits, paying, in some cases, not one penny in taxes. Right. You have the richest people in this country whose effective tax rate is the lowest in modern American history. Do I think that you cut Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, which is what Republicans want to do, and say to the richest people in this country, sorry, we don't touch you? I think that that is absurd. I personally believe that half of deficit reduction has got to come from the wealthiest folks and the largest corporations. I think we also need significant cuts in military spending.
And there you go. Now, interestingly, when we talk about shared sacrifice, let me be clear on what I believe shared sacrifice is. Shared sacrifice does not mean equal sacrifice. So we're clear on this. 10%, let's say we were to tax people at 10% of everything they make. Well, if you're making $20,000 a year and you're taxed at 10%, you're giving up $2,000. That's a significant portion of your income. If you're making $1 million and you give up 10%, well, you know what? It doesn't really hurt as much. Now, I'm not saying it has to hurt, so don't take that in the wrong context. But when we talk about shared sacrifice, we need to talk about equally sharing the sacrifice, not just everybody sharing and sacrifice. I don't have all the answers, but Bernie Sanders is 100% right. And the American people, as he said, want shared sacrifice. And that's why we were so angry with Governor Snyder. And that's why there's a recall against him. Because he ran on a non-agenda. And don't for a moment tell me that if you didn't know what you were getting when he ran, that you would have, how many of you would not have voted for him? That's really the question. You know, the question is, if you really knew what he stood for before the election, because we didn't know a lot about him. And unfortunately, I wasn't on the air then. You could have read my blog, but most of you didn't know that that blog existed. And so, you know, when we take a look at what this governor's done, and then he talks about shared sacrifice and that special message that we're sending, you know, about education and the way that we're taxing senior citizens now, and I could go on and on and on, you know, is it truly shared sacrifice? And it doesn't seem to be. There's no equity or equality to this at all. It's troublesome and very, very problematic.
Well, you know what the people will say. 10% of $1 million is $100,000. That's way more than the $2,000 that the person who's only making $20,000 is making. So they're paying way more in taxes.
Yeah, but I would suggest that it's much easier to live on $900,000 than it is to live on $18,000.
I totally agree. That's why I don't like the flat tax rate.
Right, and I'm not a big fan of the flat tax. You know, there is a graduated income tax proposal out there that would actually work. You know, there is a proposal out there that would only tax you after, you know, $25,000. There are lots of solutions to this problem that we need leadership on. A quick break here. My buddy Tim in Brownstown is on hold, so we'll get to Tim right after the break. And feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. A little more from Bernie Sanders on the other side of this break. I'm Tony Trupiano. Thanks for punching in on First Shift. We'll be back.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, are you a flake?
Well, I think that would be insulting.
But you understand when I say that that's what the rap on you is.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you. Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Want to save on gas this summer? Use your Discover card and get 5% cash back bonus when you fill up all summer long. Limitations apply. For more details and to sign up, visit discover.com. It pays to get more. It pays to discover.
Hi, I'm David Ricklick, president of Investment Solutions, and I welcome you to Your Money Matters, a live and interactive radio show every Sunday morning at 8:30 on 1310 WDTW. Are you worried your financial portfolio is not well diversified? Are you concerned your assets are not properly allocated given the uncertain economic conditions? It is these and other topics that Your Money Matters with Dave and Aaron will discuss. Tune in to learn more with Your Money Matters every Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m.
So Dave and I are here to help and give the latest trends and discuss the economic situation that affects you. See how our family can help your family and listen every Sunday morning at 8:30 live on 1310 WDTW, Detroit's Progressive Talk Station.
The information presented is designed to provide general information on the subjects covered. Please note that Investment Solutions and their representatives do not give legal or tax advice. Securities offered through Questar Capital Corporation, member FINRA/SIPC. Investment Solutions is independent of QCC.
Recently on First Shift.
NBA veteran and former star of the Michigan Fab Five, Jalen Rose.
There's no way we can help turn around the fate of our great city if we're not educating our youth. Now, you know what those numbers will do. They'll increase the crime rate. They will increase the poverty rate. They'll increase the migration rate of families who now feel like they need to move out of the Detroit area to really find quality schools and opportunity and jobs for their families.
First Shift with Tony Triano
on 1310
WDTW.
You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Detroit's Progressive Talk, the home for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now here's Tony.
And welcome back, 888-552-3595. Let's go to the phones and welcome Tim in Brownstown. Tim, we missed you yesterday. Hope you had a nice holiday weekend.
I had a wonderful weekend. I hope you did, too.
I did, thank you.
I just didn't call in, but... I want to talk about some statistics, and this is, I've heard this, you know, 1,000 times, that the top 1% of the richest people pay around 37-40% of the taxes, and then the top 10% pay somewhere around 70%, and then there's around 47% of the people don't even pay taxes. Now, I'm all for like a consumption tax or a fair tax, but Tony, I don't believe the government should have another penny of our money until they learn what the definition of a debt ceiling is. I mean, this is just crazy the way they spend our money. I heard the other day they spent $200,000 studying the effects of alcohol on Chinese prostitutes. I mean, doesn't that sound crazy to you?
I don't know. I don't know that that's true. I mean, I've never heard that study. I mean, there's some odd studies that they put our tax dollars toward. There's no question. There's some weird stuff and. And I got to apologize again, Tim. Your background noise is driving me nuts.
I know. I'm sorry.
That's all right. So you're going to have to pot him down because I can't do the background noise. Again, fundamentally, you're wrong on the percentages, but that's okay. We're going to let that go for now. A consumption tax could be quite unfair. And again, a lot of this just has to do with poverty. And you'd be surprised how consumption taxes can penalize those in poverty.
I think we all can agree, though, with what Tim had to say about spending. It's not just one side or the other. There's ways you can be smarter about the way money is being spent.
Oh, there's no question we need to be smarter how we spend the money, our tax dollars. There's no question that's true. One of them, and again, something I've been advocating now for a while, is we need to get out of these wars. We just need to get out, Jeff. It's time. I mean, it's costly. It's costing us a whole generation of Americans in regard to wasted tax dollars. Jeff, at some point, this stuff has to be paid off.
Yeah, I've been hearing you say it for a while, so when I heard Bernie Sanders say it yesterday, I was like, man, to hear an independent say it, to hear somebody else be saying it, I mean, it's like, it's out there. It's real.
Oh, it's very, very real. All right, let's just go to our next cut from independent Senator Bernie Sanders yesterday on Chuck Todd's show on MSNBC.
If you're looking at cuts, we have to remember that military spending has been tripled since 1997. We still have weapon systems that are fighting the Soviet Union. So I think you've got to take a hard look at military spending. Furthermore, when 50 million Americans have no health insurance today, to do as the Republicans want, to throw millions of children off of Medicaid, or to do away with Medicare as we know it, to me is, you know, beyond comprehension. But the important point is, do the wealthy and large corporations contribute to deficit reduction, or do we balance the budget on the backs of the sick, the elderly, and the children?
Now, you know, a profoundly, profoundly sad, and I just want to get to this last soundbite on, you know, leadership as far as I'm concerned, then I'll comment on the other side of that. Go ahead, Jeff.
And you know that when they ask people, what's the most preferred way to deal with deficit reduction? Do you know what people say? They say, ask the wealthy to stop paying more in taxes. This is not Bernie Sanders' idea. This is poll after poll after poll. And I think it's time for Congress to listen to the American people. Why is it the Republicans want to give tax breaks? They not only want to ask the wealthy to pay more in taxes, they want to give them $1 trillion more in tax breaks. But the answer is, I think most Americans know,
The wealthy and their lobbyists are very, very powerful in Washington. They make enormous amounts of campaign contributions, and they, to a large degree, call the tune. Nobody that I know, quite honestly, if you go up to somebody, Chuck, you say, let's see, we're going to cut Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and nutrition. We're going to give tax breaks to the billionaires. Do you know how many people think that makes sense? Nobody outside of Washington, D.C. I think the demand that we're making to the president is stand tall, fight back. He did not do that on the last two negotiations. If he says to the American people, we're going to stand with you, we're not going to balance the budget on the backs of the middle class and working families, you know what? I think he's going to have the support of the American people behind him. I think we're going to put the Republicans on the defensive, and I think you're going to get a fair and good economic policy deficit reduction package.
And he couldn't be more correct. This is what I talked about yesterday at great length about leadership and how we need our president to start showing some leadership. And it's not just about drawing that line in the sand and saying, don't you cross it. That's certainly a piece of it. But the bigger piece of it is we need our president to lead. And we need him to lead for the middle class. We are losing, it's not just that we're losing every battle, but what we are losing is our piece of the American dream. And when you start taking away the reality, when we're taking away real estate, home ownership is becoming just an idea. You know, think about that. Think about the profound effect, you know, that you had as a child, as you began to mature. This idea that one day you would own your own home and that it would appreciate, and that in your retirement you could sell that home, and with that, those savings you could, you know, then go live somewhere else. And those days are gone. As of right now, those days are gone. Most of us have mortgages that are underwater if we have a mortgage, right? And most of us have seen the depreciation on our real estate and our real estate to go down, a disgusting percentage. It's really, really quite sad. And you stop and think, how many people actually have equity in their home these days? And this just goes back to this, to facts. Facts, folks, the facts are that unless you have a lot of money, you don't have any money. You know, and just getting by is no way to live your life. You know, of the many things that we're not going to be able to get into with Bruce Levine today, as there's so much in this book, Get Up, Stand Up, you know, we're not going to be able to talk about what the American dream is. And we're not going to be able, I mean, and briefly we will, but it's just, you know, do you understand what's being taken away from you? With each and every passing month, we get further from what was once possible. We are redefining the American dream on a daily basis because the financial picture has staggeringly put us in a paralysis. And fundamentally, this is very, very troublesome. At its heart, at its core, it's very troublesome. So let's keep that in mind. Bernie Sanders, a really great job. Really great job. So go check out, if you Google or search engine, however you want to do, Bernie Sanders, look for the 10,000-word speech he gave on the floor of the Senate last week. It is worth the time it will take to watch that. It'll blow your freaking minds. All right, we're going to take a quick break for the top of the hour here. Dr. Everett Ehrlich, when we come back on net neutrality, we'll also check in with Autumn Smith in the next hour. This is First Shift. Stay tuned for Diane Cross with traffic and weather headlines from CNN. I'm Tony Truppiano. This is Detroit's only progressive talk show. We'll be back right after this on 1310 WDTW.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update still looks pretty good out there. Drivers coming in along I-96 to the Jefferies, trying to get on the Southfield Freeway. We're doing okay through there. Only one lane open from Grand River 96 area down toward Michigan Avenue. Northbound picking up a bit, seeing some slow spots at times for those coming up from Dearborn, trying to get onto I-96.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Chance of scattered thunderstorms today. Our high near 88 tonight. A chance of storms. A low near 64. Tomorrow all sun and a high near 82. Right now overcast and 70 degrees at the airport. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
We're bringing the best progressive talk on radio to Lynette in Detroit, Nick in Wyandotte, Tom in Ypsilanti, Robert in Detroit, Kathy in Southgate, Maureen in Dearborn, and everyone listening to 1310 WDTW, Detroit's progressive talk.
Identify yourself, please.
This is Detroit's progressive talk, 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News is next.
CNN Radio, I'm Cheryl Castro. An alternate juror in the Casey Anthony murder case says he agrees with the not guilty verdict. Russell Huckler, who sat through the trial but did not participate, says Anthony's questionable family actually helped her case.
What was coming out during the trial was how dysfunctional the family was. Again, I'm going to go back to something horrific, an accident happened, and they did not deal with it appropriately, obviously.
The 12 jurors in the case have so far chosen not to speak publicly following their decision. They only found Anthony guilty of lying to police. Democratic and Republican lawmakers have been invited to the White House tomorrow to hold talks with the president about deficit reduction and the debt ceiling. Republican Senator John Johnson says the first step in dealing with the issue is passing a budget.
Think about the fact the United States Senate has not passed a budget in 2 years. I've been in business now for 34 years. I've had to produce budgets on time. It is unthinkable in business to miss one of those deadlines.
The debt ceiling deadline is August 2nd. You can tweet your question about jobs and the economy to President Obama today. He's hosting the first ever Twitter town hall meeting. Roger Clemens' perjury trial gets started today with jury selection. CNN's Larry Lazo reports former trainer Brian McNamee will be in focus.
Clemens' lawyers say they will go after McNamee. They said the bloodstained gauze and used needles he has have been fabricated. The defense said today that McNamee made it all up to save himself from, among other things, a 2001 sexual assault accusation.
Clemens is accused of lying to Congress about his steroid use. Something awesome is coming to Facebook. That's the only way the company would describe an announcement it's making today to the media. Many think Facebook will launch a video chat feature using Skype, or it may be an iPad app. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
The last thing I need carpooling this lively bunch is a dead battery. The Cirrus Blue Automotive crew offers to check my battery before there's a problem, so I feel confident my car will start every time.
Come into Sears Auto Center for a $19.99 oil change with coupon and no shop fees. And through July 9th, save on all Michelin tires and get up to $70 after mail-in rebate with a purchase of four. Plus, automotive batteries are as low as $49.98. Sears Auto Center. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Offer end dates vary from 7/9 to 7/16.
Hi, homeowners. It's Dave with LendingTree again. Have you heard that mortgage rates are dropping? It's true. You could get rates as low as 2.625%, 3.1% APR at LendingTree.com. In fact, homeowners who refinance with LendingTree save an average of $301 a month. That's over $3,600 a year. Hey, in the time it's taken me to tell you all this, you could have called LendingTree. Don't wait for rates to climb. Call 1-800-555-TREE today. That's 1-800-555-TREE. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS 1136.
Twitter is worth $7 billion. At least that's the value if the microblogging service can raise hundreds of millions of dollars it is seeking from private investors. So far, Twitter has avoided an initial public stock offering, the fundraising route that so many other tech companies have followed lately to get cash. And competition for qualified workers is so intense in the high-tech world, many firms use perks to get and keep employees. The Wall Street Journal says some have very lax dress codes. Most employees at tween site kidsviews.com wear hoodies around the office. Restaurants want to slow down new federal rules requiring chains to post calorie counts on menus. Not only that, but the industry is asking for more discretion in the way the numbers are presented. In one area, though, restaurants are calling for tougher rules. They want movie theaters and snack bars and big warehouse stores that are exempt from the law to comply as well. A downgrade of Portugal's debt has S&P futures in the red by 6 points. NASDAQ futures are down by 4. I'm Steve Podisk from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
High gas prices continue to drain wallets.
The question?
How will you pay to fuel up?
Crude oil prices remain at record levels.
Tonight's top story, America feeling pain at the pump.
With gas prices so high, how will you fill your tank? It's a question millions of people are asking themselves right now. As an alternative, Americans from all across the country are turning to public transportation as an affordable, dependable option to get them to work, school, and medical care. But Congress is proposing to cut public transportation investments right as our country needs them most. If that happens, our infrastructure won't be ready for the increased ridership, and commuters could be left stranded. Act now at publictransportation.org to tell Congress we need more public transportation, not less. That's publictransportation.org. A message from the American Public Transportation Association.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and wow, did the ladies love you. Now, you fall asleep on the couch, irritable, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 61% and maintain healthy, normal levels. No injections, no appointments. With healthy testosterone levels, you can feel that energy again, that great outlook again, and yes, even a healthy sex drive. Right now, you can try Ageless Male risk-free. There's nothing to lose, guys. If you're a man who's noticed changes in your body, your mood, your sex life, call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male. Be the guy you used to be. Just call 1-800-741-0439. Don't wait another day. Just call 1-800-741-0439. Again, 1-800-741-0439.
Every minute matters.
It's about taking action that makes a real difference in real people's lives.
Time to engage.
How's it feel to wake up this morning and be the most hated man in Michigan?
Target locked.
I have a bold vision for Michigan's future.
And people are saying that, well, they're getting this huge break. Well, I don't believe that's really true. Shared sacrifice, shared sacrifice, shared sacrifice, shared sacrifice.
Ready the Snyder Fighter.
It is time for a new era. It is time for
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome, everybody. Tony Trupiano back with you on hour two of First Shift on this weekday, Wednesday program. Again, as I said in the last hour, these short weeks do make it go by a lot quicker. I'm not complaining. We've got a lot to do in this hour. Let me remind you that the first five calls we get today, we've got some wonderful stuff to give away for you today. We have copies of the documentary from the Wisconsin Worker Uprising. So if you'd like a copy of that, we have copies of Dr. Bruce Levine's book, Get Up, Stand Up. We have him later on in the show today. And, of course, I have two sets of tickets to Liz Winstad's show this Saturday night in Pontiac, which is a fundraiser for Planned Parenthood of Michigan. So if you'd like to join us, feel free to do that. And you could win some nice stuff. 888-552-3595 is the phone number. Now, this next story I'm going to bring to you is actually of greater interest to you than you know. And although we really do spend a lot of time on politics on this show, you know, there are other things, and as I try to do daily, you know, mix it up a little bit. And this is one of those things that I want you to have some functional knowledge on, and I know my next guest will be able to help us work through that. There are new net neutrality rules that have been proposed through the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission. What are net neutrality rules, and what does all this mean to you? Well, we're going to explore that now. Joining me is Dr. Everett Ehrlich. Dr. Ehrlich is one of the nation's leading business economists. His firm, ESC Company, combines economic analysis, business development, and communication skills to solve a wide range of business problems. Dr. Ehrlich has a vast background in government affairs and certainly understands the economy and those things that affect the economy better than most. He's the author of a couple books, has been widely featured in print in many publications, and received his PhD from our own University of Michigan. And Dr. Ehrlich, I want to welcome you to First Shift this morning.
Good morning, Tony. Go blue.
Yeah, you got it. Go blue indeed. Let's first define what net neutrality rules are. I'm going to assume the average person just doesn't know what this is.
Yeah,
and I think sometimes they're told that net neutrality means no censorship on the Internet or you can get to everything. It means this, in the view of the people who propose it, that everything on the Internet travels on the same speed and on the same conditions, the same terms as everything else, as if every car driving on every road traveled at the same rate of speed.
Well, you know, and so we take a look. Now, let's just explain to the audience, the Federal Communications Commission is an appointed group, and, of course, you know, it's political like any other government function. There are some Democrats and some Republicans, and normally they vote on party line. With regard to this new set of rules that's been proposed, and I also might add, Dr. Ehrlich, it's not only been proposed but delayed more than once. Along party lines, they have been approved. But what are we approving here, and why should we care about this issue?
Well, you know, it seems like a simple thing. Everything has to travel at the same speed. But when you start to think about it, it has a lot of different implications. I mean, look at it this way. I'm sitting here, and I've got a cardiac monitor attached to a Bluetooth device that's being remotely received at a hospital, and that travels at the same speed as someone who's downloading a video of a cat playing the xylophone, right? Or perhaps I want to watch a sports event or a concert on the Internet, but I don't want it to buffer. I don't want it to be interrupted the way that, you know, stuff sometimes freezes up. I want to offer that. I can't buy that because net neutrality rules would prohibit me from doing so. And at a more practical level, this is really about jobs in the economy. Let's say, for example, that I'm an industrial parts designer and I'm doing a CAD-CAM design of a component of a vehicle, a car, or some other machine, and I want to be able to send it halfway around the world, and I want it to be received real time so we can do simulations with it. You can't do that either because of this one speed rule. So it sounds democratic. The people who support it partly are afraid that there's not enough competition on the Internet to protect them. I disagree with them. There are some big companies like Google that support it because it means that we subsidize their experience on the Internet, right? And I think it's a bad idea.
All right, so what are some of the, you know, what are some of the solutions to these problems, and what does this do, you know, well, let me do this in two parts. What are some of the solutions to the problems that this presents?
Well, you know, what problem does it present? The concern is that somehow, for example, if you have Verizon for your internet service provider, that they'll cut a deal that says you can only get your music from Apple, and you can only get your downloads from Netflix, and you can only buy your stocks from Charles Schwab, or something like that. And that's what the people on the FCC who like net neutrality, I don't think they're a majority yet, but they'll say, well, yeah, we can't have that. We have to make sure that they're not given a preference on the Internet. But frankly, would you really buy Internet service from someone who said you can only go here, you can only go there? The whole point of being on the Internet is to be able to get anywhere that you want. So the real repercussions are very serious. And what we need to do, I believe, in this case, is to back off and let the Internet work itself out. And, Tony, let me say, I am not some anti-regulation bug. We need regulation where competition leads us to do bad things, the way it leads banks to lose their minds and start crises, or it leads polluters to put stuff in the air that changes the way we live on the planet. That's real important regulation. But this seems to regulate a problem that's not really there.
Well, of course, that is the problem, is that it regulates a problem that is not there. But as we look at competition, Monday, I was getting ready, prepping for the show, and I get an email from my ISP, which is Comcast, and they said, hey, great news. We now have a faster Internet for you. In fact, we just automatically did it. We've upgraded you. All you need to do is unplug your modem, turn your computer off, plug it back in, turn it on, and your computer is going to go faster. It's going to zip through. Well, okay, that's great. What'd they do different? You know, Dr. Ehrlich, what did they do different? You know, and are we getting the fastest internet we can get? And is this something that maybe we should have an option for? Should we be able to buy faster speeds? Does that matter to the average consumer?
It depends on who the, you know, this isn't what we mean by average, but it depends who the average consumer is, right? There are some people who really want to do some heady stuff. And they want to be able to, maybe they want to play high-definition games. Maybe they want to do some serious things that you need a fast internet for, like, for example, letting doctors do remote diagnoses in medical situations. There are some people, and I'm more like them, the latter group, who, you know, I work my computer a little bit, and I send some email and so on, but I'm really not that interested. The market seems to be doing a pretty good job, and it's doing that job because, you know, you look at Comcast, you look at Verizon, AT&T, Cox, Time Warner, and now the wireless guys, and they're all big fixed-cost systems. They had to spend tens of billions of dollars to build these systems, and if they can't sell them to you, they've lost a lot of money. They want to spread the overhead over a lot of customers, so they're doing a good job of competing. Now, how did Comcast get so much faster without changing the wire? That's better software. It's better engineering. Takes a lot of money, takes a lot of time, takes a real commitment. But, you know, if the rest of the world had improved by the amount that the Internet has improved in the space of the last 10 years, there's no telling how bountiful it would be. I mean, look at the speed and the connectivity, and look at the new industries like apps for cell phones that have been created because of this investment. I'm a pretty progressive guy. I don't see the need to regulate this when it has that kind of track record.
Well, you know, and again, there's even some question as to whether or not, Dr. Ehrlich, the FCC has authority over broadband networks, and, you know, all I smell there are lawsuits.
Well, and you smell them because they're out in the woods. The FCC claimed that it had the authority to do this, and the court said, wait a minute, you were created 80 years ago to regulate telephone rates, and you weren't created to determine what were the terms under which data would flow over wires that we never could have imagined. So the FCC is doing this, and it's going to court to defend its right to regulate the Internet, and the court might tell them to pack up and go home. They're kind of playing a bet-the-ranch strategy. And if I may, Tony, I think that that's really disappointing for the following reason. The most important problem in the Internet today is not that you're not getting things from carriers. Boy, you're getting the whole world. The problem is we still have a digital divide, that the Internet, the broadband Internet, doesn't reach everybody. And therefore, we can't move more services like health and education and government services to the Internet to be more effective. And the more we concentrate on whether or not people will be able to show you the Black Eyed Peas in a high-definition concert real-time, and in fact say that we shouldn't, the less we concentrate on finding a plan to get the broadband Internet to all rural and urban communities where they haven't penetrated yet.
Absolutely. And Dr. Ehrlich, I'm sorry, we're just out of time.
Excuse me, Tony.
That's all right, but I want to thank you for being with us. Folks, we'll be back on the other side of this.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Jay, welcome to First Shift.
How you doing, Tony? Excellent show.
Frank, good morning.
You got a great show, by the way.
Tom, listening in Chicago.
You got a great show, Tony. You've been doing a great job. I've been listening to you since you came on the air. And good luck with it, and I hope you keep it going.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Our total traffic update includes pretty good news. It's been in good shape along 94 coming in from 275 toward the airport. Trying to make your way toward Telegraph and Southfield. In fact, you can head all the way in toward I-96, M-10, 75. It all looks good. And coming in from the east side of town, 94 near 696, we look pretty good through that stretch as you're trying to come in toward Van Dyke and into 75. You can tell it's still a bit of a holiday week.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, there's a chance of scattered thunderstorms today. Our high near 88. Tonight, isolated thunderstorms possible and a low near 64. Tomorrow, look for mostly sunny skies and a high of 82. Last check at Metro Airport, still overcast and 70 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Mike Rowe here talking with Jim Twitchell, a real-life Ford service technician, about the importance of scheduled maintenance. But really, Jim, everybody knows it's important, right?
Scheduled maintenance is important. That's what keeps your car running at optimum performance.
Get an oil change and much more with the Works Fuel Saver Package. $29.95 or less after $10 rebate.
So you're kind of like a car doctor.
Definitely a car doctor.
Are you soothing? Do you have a good car side manner?
Most cars told me so.
Up to 5 quarts of oil, taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. See participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for rebate details through 8/31/11.
I'm making burgers, honey. Do you want one or two? Why are you looking at me like that? Oh, I mean, would you like to double down?
I'm in.
Yeah, he still feels it. He's been to MGM Grand Detroit with more than 4,000 of the best slots, over 90 table games, and so much more. It's hard to shake the feeling.
And we have a winner. Here are your chips.
Thanks.
It's time to play at MGM Grand Detroit.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
The best value? Simple. It's the one that lasts. Like the Midas Secure Stop Brake Service. New brake pads or shoes, just $99.99 per axle installed. With a guarantee good for as long as you own your car. New brake pads or shoes installed, just $99.99 per axle. Midas. Total car care. Total customer care.
Additional parts, labor, shop fees, and taxes extra. Most vehicles. See manager for guarantee terms. A participating Detroit area Midas.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
On 1310WDTW.
And so engrossed in what I was reading, I forgot I had to go back on air, but I'm back, and I want to thank you all for being with us. So we've got some stuff to give away. We've got some open line time now between the bottom and now in the bottom of the hour. We've got some stuff to give away. So 888-552-3595, 888-552-3595, tony@thetonyshow.org. And if you'd like a copy of the book Get Up, Stand Up, a copy of the documentary on the Wisconsin Worker Uprising, or a pair of the tickets to Liz Wenstad's show this Saturday in Pontiac, give us a call right now. Peter Luke, a writer for MLive.com, interviewed Governor Snyder on in an appearance Sunday's edition of MLive. And it was interesting. It was interesting, and I say interesting because once again, we have a Snyderism, and we've got a growing list of Snyderisms. Jeff, this one is quite interesting. You ready for this one? It's not about jobs, it's about better jobs. It's not about jobs, it's about better jobs. Somebody want to explain to me what that means? I'll be happy to listen. His priorities, according to this article, he was able to overhaul the tax code. He says that he's put the first pieces of the education agenda he announced in April, tenure reform, and could be on his desk, that will be on his desk. So you could, measure employees. He's wrong on tenure. A regulatory review is something on his agenda that aims to reconsider decades worth of rules and regulations businesses may oppose. But in some cases, in favor because they bring financial benefits. Snyder came up with the concept of dog years to describe the pay seeking to cram 4 years of work into 6 months or 182 days, which ended last Friday. And according to Governor Snyder, I'm quoting him, I've been very impressed in that they've, and that's the legislature, stuck with what they wanted and got to do and got 90% of what they wanted to get done. For a guy, according to Bob Emerson, who is a Democrat and a former served under Governor Jennifer Granholm, for a guy, he says of Snyder, for a guy who came in with no experience and supposedly an amateur in dealing with legislature, he's done an incredibly good job of working with people. It's even hard to pick a fight with him because the perception is that he doesn't get defensive and stick with what he wants to do. Well, Bob, I've interviewed you on my show. I profoundly disagree with what you've had to say. But Snyder goes on to say, and here's the quote, it's not about jobs, it's about better jobs. We'll be significantly better off. I mean, we're on the positive path here. Says absolutely nothing, Governor Snyder. That says literally nothing. He said, add in a talent pool, he said, that is unsurpassed in an economic development strategy that tends first to the needs of state-based companies. And Snyder said Michigan will create the best, quote-unquote, value for employees in the nation. What the hell does that mean? Does anybody know what that means? I certainly don't. Democrats, of course, say that since there's been job growth since 2009, thanks to Governor Granholm, Lieutenant Governor Cherry, and it's already outpacing many states, and that there is no evidence the $1.6 billion business tax cut will lead to significant job creation, as we already know, because we've not heard one company say, hey, listen, because of the new favorable way that you kissed our butts, we're going to create jobs. In fact, I reported to you last week that at the Small Business Administration or Small Business Owners Convention in Lansing last week, the governor begged people to brag about just one job. If you create one job, you need to go brag about that one job. But we're not done. As Chris Mihalakis said on the show yesterday, the legislative and political director for the United Food and Commercial Workers, as he said yesterday, this governor has been an all-out assault to literally decay collective bargaining in the state of Michigan. In an article in yesterday's Lansing State Journal that is titled, Michigan Needs $145 million in Concessions from Unions, the fight is on. The fight is on. I spoke yesterday to Kevin Moore, who is president of the Teamsters Local 299. Kevin just returned from the International Conference of Teamsters in Las Vegas. We played some of the audio from Vice President Biden's remarks at their conference last week, which Kevin told me was phenomenal. I'm hoping to have Kevin on the show tomorrow. I got to call him after the show today. But he said it was a phenomenal convention. And for those of you, and I'm going to make this clear, I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to say it every day, probably multiple times a day, so just wrap your heads around it. Try to get comfortable with this. If you're in a union, you need to get closer to your union, because unions are going to be the first line of defense against what is happening to us politically, especially from the Republican side of the aisle. If you're offended by that in some way, good. If you're not offended by that in some way, are you doing enough? Are you doing enough? You need to answer that question honestly. But as I was talking to Kevin yesterday, and again, I told you folks the other day, I had lunch with Roger Robinson, the president of the United Food and Commercial Workers Union. When I sit with these men, and I talk to these men, and I begin to fully understand the commitment and passion they have for democracy, not just for the union movement, but for democracy. They fully embrace. Bob King would be another one with United Auto Workers. There are many others. I assure you there are many others. They truly get what needs to happen, and they are prepared to do what needs to happen in order to move people to action. Now, you're going to find as we work through this program on a daily basis that we are going to get closer and closer every single day to bringing you possibility. Now, what you choose to do with that is, of course, totally up to you. And no one's going to leave you behind, because we happen to live, when you are a Democrat, especially if you're a progressive Democrat, when you look at helping people, when you get up in the morning and you say, what can I do to help my neighbor today? Because that's what real progressive Democrats do every day. Progressive Democrats wake up every day and go, it's not about me, it's about us. That is what we do. And so when you ask yourself that question, what can I do today to make a difference, to move things closer to sanity, to begin to explore and make possible those things that we had either forgotten about, had taken away from us, or not discovered yet. When we think about the collective consciousness of doing that, amazing things can happen. But you have to be willing to step up to the plate and make that happen. And I'm going to preach this sermon every single day. And eventually you're going to begin to embrace it as your own. Because what we need, is within our grasp. We have to reach out for it. Autumn Smith, when we return, a checkup on Jace Bolger, the Speaker of the House, and that recall effort. She is one daring woman, I'll tell you that. We'll take the quick break here and be back on 1310 WDTW.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update, it's still been pretty quiet out there. Whatever roadway you're using, you're probably not going to find any delays, although some areas that may have a power outage, make sure if you come across an intersection, a traffic signal, that you treat it as a four-way stop if there's no power going on there. Looks like 96 doing okay coming in toward Wixom and Novi, just seeing that eastbound direction build, but just no big delays so far.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, chance of scattered thunderstorms today, our high near 88. Tonight, a chance of storms, a low near 64. Tomorrow, all sun and a high near 82. Right now, overcast and 70 degrees at the airport. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell. Sting is saying, "Don't stand so close to me," to the state oil company of Kazakhstan. The rocker canceled a concert planned in the country to show his solidarity with oil workers who have been on strike. In a statement, the former frontman of The Police said, "Hunger strikes, imprisoned workers, and tens of thousands on strike represents a virtual picket line, which I have no intention of crossing." Sting has long been a supporter of Amnesty International, which is the organization that petitioned Sting to reconsider hosting a concert in the country. The workers have been on strike since May 26th. And Sting had planned to play at a festival celebrating the founding of the country's capital, Astana. Should U.S. labor have a more radical response to the anti-labor movement? Doug Cunningham reports.
Laborers International Union of North America President Terrence O'Sullivan says it's time for a more radical labor movement in light of the strong attacks on fundamental labor rights. O'Sullivan's remarks came during the 125th anniversary of May Day, commemorated in Chicago's Haymarket Square. It was a rededication of the newly restored monument at the grave of the four Haymarket martyrs, executed in 1887 for the Haymarket bombing. That bombing happened during a rally for the eight-hour day.
Just as the men and women of Haymarket stood united and stood fearless in the face of corporate terror, Today, we must stand united and stand fearless in the face of corporate tyranny. Instead of being at the wrong end of a Pinkerton's baton, working men and women today are at the wrong end of a lawmaker's gavel or a governor's pen. Targets of wealthy special interests who don't want us standing in the way of their greedy agenda. When we're fighting just to hold on to our very lives, there is no movement too radical. And there is no movement too militant.
Yeah. O'Sullivan Audio, courtesy of WORT Radio in Madison.
Michigan has long had one of the highest unemployment rates in the country. The last time the state saw a rate not in the double digits was in November of 2008. However, Michigan Republican and House Ways and Means Committee Chair Dave Camp plans to move forward on three free trade agreements Thursday without the consideration of a plan by the Obama administration to extend aid for workers who lose jobs to overseas competition. President Barack Obama has suggested he won't move forward with the trade agreements unless they include the aid for U.S. workers, which expired in February of this year.
Workers Independent News puts workers and their unions on the national radio news airwaves every day. To help keep labor's voice on the air, go to laborradio.org.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Tony is back and wants to talk with you. Give him a call at 1-888-552-3595.
And welcome back, 35 minutes after the hour. As promised, an update on the recall of the Senate Majority Leader in the House, Jay Spolger. Joining us now is Autumn Smith, citizen patriot who has been fighting hard, received a press release, and at the title of the press release says, petitions to recall Speaker of the House, Jay Spolger, to begin circulating July 6, 2011. That's today, Autumn. What's going on? Give us an update, please.
Well, thanks for having me again, Tony. I decided amongst myself and a few other people that have been, helping me on the side with this recall that it was best for the recall to push forward and begin circulation and not to sit on the sidelines and wait and play the court games and legal hoops that Boulder has set up. So, I've decided to go ahead and start circulating. I also have found a loophole, I guess you could say, but it comes back in my favor. It's totally legal and everything. That my petition language that I am circulating is legal, and I could totally circulate it. It's approved by default for the Election Commission failing to hold a hearing within the 10 to 20 day time frame as stated by election law.
All right, and according to the press release that you provided to me, and let me just read this to the audience quickly, Autumn Smith. It says, according to Michigan election law 168.952, section Reed states, quote, the Board of County Election Commissioners, not less than 10 days or more than 20 days after submission to it of a petition for the recall of an officer, shall meet and shall determine whether each reason for the recall stated in that petition is of sufficient clarity to enable the officer whose recall is sought and the electors to identify the course of conduct and that in the basis of the recall. Failure of the board, and I think this is the key portion, Autumn, failure of the Board of County Election Commissioners to comply with this subsection shall constitute a determination that each reason for the recall stated in the petition is of sufficient clarity to enable the officer whose recall is being sought and the electors to identify the course of conduct that is the base for the recall. Well, you've met that threshold.
Yes, and that's exactly what I'm going with. And I've thought about all the risks there are taking with circulating and the risks there are taking waiting on the sidelines. And I've calculated and weighed each risk appropriately, and I'm willing to go with the risk that it is to circulate because it clearly states that the law is on my side. I'm not doing anything illegal, nor have I done anything illegal from day one. Everything that I've done has been by the book. It's Jace Bolger's legal interference, dragging this into the 37th Circuit Court, which is not the appropriate venue for this at all. He needs to have let the Clarity Board do their job, which they had done their job. Just because he disagrees or whatever, there's a place for that. It's called the appeals court. It doesn't belong tied up with temporary restraining orders, tied up with injunctions, and having endless court date after court date. So after reading the election law and after discussing it with people that have been helping me with the recall, I decided that it's better for me to begin my circulation. I've weighed, you know, what could they possibly do, and I, my understanding is the worst case scenario is they could throw out some signatures that I get, which just means I will go back out and just re-get those signatures. It might make the task a little bit more, you know, stressful and a little more work to it, but God knows the task that just getting the languages approved has been 10 times harder than it should have been. So this is I feel the appropriate way to go about doing things. I'm legal, I'm within my rights. They failed to hold the hearing on my language that I'm circulating now within the 20-day time frame, which their excuse is going to be, well, we were restrained, we had a temporary restraining order on us, which is fine, because that's fine, but that TRO basically is baseless. They should have never been restrained. How can you restrain someone's constitutional right to redress their government, and how can you restrain an election commission that was doing their job? So,
well again, you've found nothing but friends here, and we're certainly, Autumn Smith, going to agree with you. So let's talk about what's going to happen today. I know that there's a meeting today. What's the meeting about today?
Well, the meeting today with the election commission is basically just them voting to go into closed session to discuss their legal strategy. Now, I just want to let it be known, I received a phone call from Calhoun Corporate Counsel yesterday asking me if I would agree to withdraw the two petitions that of language that are previously, that have already been approved, that are now waiting in appeals because Jace Bolger has filed appeals on those. He wanted to know if I'd be willing to withdraw those and agree to a court-ordered hearing for the language that is already now approved by default, as you stated, through election law 168.952. And I'm not at liberty, one, to be agreeing to anything, one, verbally over the phone, or two, agreeing to anything with an election commission that is restrained and enjoined. That nobody should be making any deals, if you ask me. And so I'm a little hesitant as to where that came from and what that's all about, which I'm sure I'll find out today when I go to this meeting. But this meeting, basically, my understanding is they're just going to vote to go into closed session to discuss their legal strategy for the pending litigation later this month. I have filed a motion to intervene and a motion and a notice of pro se appearance. I filed that with the circuit court about a week ago, and I have a hearing for that on July 11th, and then the actual hearing for the litigation that Jace Bolger's attorney has filed, Jace Bolger versus Calhoun County Board of Election Commission, that goes on July 18th. So I've got a couple more court dates to go on, but in the meantime, I'll be circulating.
So you already have petitions printed?
Yes.
All right. Now, secondly, you know, and the way that this works, for those that don't understand, is you need to get a percentage. Yeah, the number of fitness signatures is based on a percentage of those that were actually cast in the general election. So how many signatures do you need to get?
The actual number that I need to get is 8,604, but of course we're shooting for a bit higher. So we're shooting for about 10 to 12,000.
All right. And again, people need to live in your district, you know, so it's not like people from Detroit can call you up and say, hey, send me petitions. It doesn't work that way, right?
Yeah, that's correct. You have to be in the 63rd district in order to sign.
All right, so that people understand that. And again, as compared to the recall of Governor Snyder, where they're going after, you know, 1.2 million signatures because they need, you know, somewhere over 800,000, it seems like 8,604 isn't that big a deal, but it is a big deal, Autumn Smith. It's not just like you're automatically going to just stand in a corner and 8,604 people are going to walk up to you that just happen to be registered voters from that district. There's a lot of heavy work and heavy lifting in front of you.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I have to I have to get those signatures. They, like you said, they're not going to come automatically. It is a lot of work. I have to be, sometimes I have to be at the right place at the right time, and sometimes we'll get people, you know, 10, 20 people all at once come. And other times it's hard going door to door and trying to get those signatures. So it is, the work really starts now, even though in my case, I've been working for the past 2 months just to get this language through and to begin circulation. So the footwork really, really starts now. And it is 8,600 in comparison to the number needed for the governor is a drop in the bucket. But like I said, you know, this district is gerrymandered to the extreme, and I will be having to, you know, be going between two counties back and forth and keeping track of where I'm at to make sure that I stay in the district and that people understand, you know, that you have to be a registered voter of the 63rd district in order to sign.
You know, and Autumn, so let me just, you know, let the share with the audience. And as we, you know, as we look at the task ahead, again, there's nothing easy about this. And we wouldn't want it to be easy. I mean, you know, we need to meet a certain threshold, and we understand that. That's fine. But at the end of the day, we have had what, you know, we talked about last week when we had you on, that there's an unconstitutional element to the temporary restraining order to begin with. And so, you know, there are a lot of legal questions that just continue to not make any logical sense in this. And this is all Jace Bolger's way of just trying to avoid what, again, is a daunting task to begin with. So what this man's afraid of just kind of blows my mind, Autumn.
Well, and he knew when he was taking office that as a public official, he was subject to recall. And I just have to say this. Governor Snyder didn't even fight his recall like this at all. He said, it's a democratic process. Let it play out. And, you know, maybe Governor Snyder said that because he knew his was a bigger feat, and Jace knows that he only needs 8,600 signatures. I don't know. But it really feels to me that, like, Jace Bolger just feels that, like, he's the exception to the rules by these legal games that he's playing, and that, you know, omnipotent Jace Bolger should not be subject to recall. And that's not true, because my rights don't end because you're in office, Jace Bolger. You are still subject to recall, and you are facing recall. I mean, it's done. I've already got signatures. It's a done deal, and I mean, I would, you know, I just feel it's wrong for him to be playing these games in court. He's wasting taxpayer dollars.
Absolutely, Autumn, absolutely. And again, we're going to keep checking in with you. Good luck today. Of course, you're going to let me know what happens, right?
Absolutely. I will be in touch, and I appreciate all your help, Tony.
No problem. Autumn Smith, once again, for the committee to recall Jace Bolger. We're going to take a quick break here. We come back, we going to take some calls. All right, so give us a call, 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Truppiano. Michigan's only progressive talk show continues after this.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Middle-class workers like you shouldn't be bearing all the burden. You work too hard for someone to ask you to pay more so that somebody who's making millions or billions of dollars can pay less.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the home page. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Come on in. Oh, let me help you with that.
Thanks. I got the wine and the dessert. The steaks smell delicious. And look at the flowers. You always have such beautiful, fresh flowers. You must spend a fortune at the florist.
I grow them in my basement. I bought a hydroponic system from Light Green Water. It just takes a little time and some electricity. And it's not just the flowers. I grew the greens for our salad and a couple of vegetables. Come on, I'll show you.
Wow. It's so warm and sunny. It's like being on a tropical island.
Wait until I turn on the sound machine.
It's like you've got your own private Garden of Eden. Maybe we should dress like Adam and Eve.
Light Green Water has everything you need to grow a garden inside your home. Light Green Water is located at 3661 Highland Road in Waterford. That's M59, a quarter mile west of Cass Lake Road. Light Green Water, hydroponic equipment and supplies.
Wish there was a place to go for information from real parents who have been there? Real parents that give you helpful, unbiased information and judgment-free advice? Hi, I'm Stacey Bachman, and on the My Great Kid Radio Show, we bring you interviews with top parenting, education, money, health, and life experts, along with the best tips, techniques, and newest information to make your life less hectic, more productive, and more satisfying. If you've got a family, the My Great Kid Radio Show is for you.
The My Great Kid Radio Show.
Saturdays at 9 a.m. here on WDTW and on the web at mygreatkid.com.
We're bringing the best progressive talk on radio to Lynette in Detroit, Nick in Wyandotte, Tom in Ypsilanti, Robert in Detroit, Kathy in Southgate, Maureen in Dearborn, and everyone listening to 1310 WDTW, Detroit's progressive talk.
Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. And now, back to work with First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. I am Tony Trupiano. Pleasure to be with you this morning. Again, we've got some nice goodies to give away. The documentary on the Wisconsin Uprising. We've got copies of the book, Get Up, Stand Up, and tickets to Saturday's event at the Eagle Theater in Pontiac with Liz Winstead, and that is a fundraiser for Planned Parenthood of Michigan. So if you'd like to join us between now and the top of the hour, feel free to do that, 888-552-3595. And let us go to the phones and welcome Patty in St. Clair County. And I think this is the Patty that's going to have me out to speak to her group soon. Hi, Patty. Patty, are you there? I think that we're reconnecting with her now, so we'll let them get her on. And then we'll get her on. That's simple enough to do. Somebody just sent me an email on the net neutrality thing, and I want to thank Mo for doing it. Mo, I will comment or I will respond to this later on in the day today after I've had a chance to look at your blog post. And, you know, certainly if we've gotten some information wrong or we didn't present it properly, more than happy to give you an opportunity to discuss that. So I will respond to that later on in the day today. I do promise. I truly do promise. In the meantime, I just want to remind you, I want to remind you all, as I did early in the show, just speaking of Patty, who I hope does call back because I think she got disconnected. You know, I'm available to speak at your functions, and I kind of gave a list of where I'm going to be in the next couple of weeks. If you'd like me to come talk to your union meeting or your Democratic club, feel free to reach out to me, tony@thetonyshow.org. We're now going to go to Annie in Royal Oak. And Annie, welcome to First Shift. What's on your mind this morning?
Well, I didn't get to call you earlier. I was listening, but I couldn't get into you. About the verdict from yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Very disappointing.
I watched quite a bit of it. Oh. I won't say I watched every minute, but I followed it pretty closely. And I talked with my sister who did watch every minute of it. And unlike O.J.'s verdict, which I did watch all of that, where you could drive a truck through the prosecution's case, this case was laid out so succinctly that there was no way they could come up with the verdict they did, except in my opinion, I think they were tired and ready to leave. And I think if we paid our jurors a better wage, we would get better jurors. The reason I say this, when my husband was on a murder trial, his boss paid him what he would have made in 8 hours. All he did was turn over what the state paid him back to his boss.
Hmm.
So he didn't have to feel like he had to rush through this case. He was able to give it his full attention, not worrying about bills and all.
Yeah, but Annie, you'd hate to think that, man, and you know what, and you could be right, but you hate to think that there are jurors that were just sitting there going, you know what, we need to get out of here.
I agree, and I think also people watch too much CSI-type shows who they get a DNA out of dirt. This body was in this wooded area that was wet for over 6 months, or about 6 months. So everything had degraded. There was nothing left of the poor little thing but bones and a few hair strands. But the timeline laid out, the only one who had access to this child who could have done this was her mother. They tried to make out that everybody else on the prosecution side were liars. The only liar was sitting right in front of them, and she lied about everything. I could not believe, after especially watching the last week and a half of this trial, that they could come to anything other than this girl was guilty. And I still say she is, and maybe what has happened to OJ may happen to her. But I do believe these jurors were tired after 6 weeks and didn't want to be there any longer.
Well,
That's my opinion.
Well, Annie, I appreciate your opinion. I don't know if you're right or wrong, but, you know, Annie, does it make you at some level wonder, as they're sitting there deliberating, why they just didn't come to the conclusion? Because they could have, and I understand that, you know, they're given very specific instructions. One of them is the judge will not tolerate a mistrial, will not tolerate a hung jury. But
right.
They could have gone to that extreme and said, you know what, let's just agree to disagree and let someone else worry about it. God forbid. Because justice has not been served. This little girl is still dead, and somebody committed that crime.
Yes. And she is the one, because here's another thing. They tried to lay out that her dad had let the little girl drown, or the little girl drowned accidentally. You don't take an accidental anything and turn it into a murder case, especially against your own child. There was no reason for that. This little girl did not drown. This little girl, I think, my opinion, in watching all that I watched, that she did something to put the little girl to sleep while she partied, and she went too far, and it killed her.
Of course.
I think the tape was put on then to make it look like this a nanny who did not exist, who she said kidnapped her, that she was responsible.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
Well, and unfortunately, and Annie, thank you for your call. I really do appreciate it. And unfortunately, you know, we will never know the truth because there is no DNA evidence. There will never be DNA evidence. There were no witnesses to the crime. There will never be witnesses to the crime. Now everything becomes hearsay. And I want to remind you, as Jeff played the audio earlier in the show today, they charged her with multiple counts, which covered manslaughter, first-degree murder, and other charges. So at the end of the day, they're done. This is done and over with. Now, she will profit from this. That's the other deplorable part of this. She will actually end up profiting off of her daughter's death. Her murder.
And Annie makes a good point bringing up CSI. I was talking to a couple of friends of mine who are lawyers now. They've gone through the bar exam and everything, and that's the first thing they said as well, is you almost have to ask prospective jurors now, how much CSI have you watched or how much TV have you watched? Because you have
bias them? Is that the problem?
Yeah, they have an unrealistic expectation of how evidence is gathered and how it's, you know, they think...
Oh, okay, gotcha.
They think that, okay, evidence is gathered and overnight it goes to the scientific lab and these people work on it all night long and the next day you can have it. And it's unrealistic that that's how it goes about.
Right. I mean, I know enough to know that's not true. I'll be honest with you. I've never watched a CSI show. I've never watched... I don't watch police dramas.
Really?
The only one I've ever seen, and it's now going to be off the air, is Detroit 187. No, I used to watch NYPD Blue and Hill Street Blues. I mean, I've watched those shows, but these investigative shows, I've never seen 5 minutes of one of them.
Yeah, CSI is a little different than Hill Street Blues and all that. It's more real scientific, and they do a lot of...
Wait a minute. Is it real scientific, though? I mean, is it science? Or,
right.
Okay.
Make it look like it's just like these high-tech computers can break down evidence, and you can solve a crime within hours, and it's, you know, obviously it's not that
good. Well, that is true. By All right. Well, listen, Annie, appreciate the call. And we're going to take a break for the top of the hour. Diane Cross coming up with traffic and weather, CNN with headline news. In our next hour, Stephen Henderson from the Detroit Free Press will be with us, as well as Bruce Levine, author of the book Get Up, Stand Up. So you'll want to stay tuned for that. I'm Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update still moving along pretty well. Coming down I-75, making your way near M-59. Well, the traffic on the southbound side a little heavier than the northbound side. We're just not seeing the really big delays, although through our construction zone 59 between Crooks and Updike, we do have some slow spots through there. And that ramp from westbound 59 to northbound 75, that is closed, and that does cause some slowdowns and some extra time needed to make your way through there.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, there's a chance of scattered thunderstorms today. Our high near 88. Tonight, isolated thunderstorms possible and a low near 64. Tomorrow, look for mostly sunny skies and a high of 82. Last check at Metro Airport, still overcast and 70 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
1310 WDTW.
Identify yourself, please.
This is Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News is next.
CNN Radio, I'm Cheryl Castro. It took jurors less than 11 hours of deliberations to return a not guilty verdict in the Casey Anthony murder trial. It was a big blow to prosecutors. Criminal defense attorney Mark Garrigo says they simply did not put on a great case.
Anytime you've got a case where you can't show the cause or manner of death, and you've got pathologists who say, I don't know, and I can't rule out accidental. What else do you expect the jury to do?
Anthony's family put out a statement saying they now have closure. Anthony is expected to be released from jail tomorrow after sentencing. President Obama will roll out the White House welcome mat tomorrow for congressional leaders to talk about the debt ceiling and deficit reduction. CNN's Brianna Keeler reports Obama is trying to secure a deal as quickly as possible.
Well, the president is really trying to just get people here and talking. And I think the thing to keep note of is a lot of what's going on is going on behind the scenes. And you have Democrats and Republicans being very quiet about it.
Attorneys for Dominique Strauss-Kahn are expected to meet with prosecutors today. Now, these are the same prosecutors who recently said they had credibility issues with a New York hotel mate who accused the former IMF chief of sex abuse. Flights were delayed. Visibility was poor in parts of Arizona last night, and that's the result of a massive dust storm.
There was reports that the dust storm was miles high and wide, and it just kind of swept through the Phoenix metro area.
Jenna Shaver with Arizona Public Service says the storm also took out power to thousands. Almost no one is satisfied with the current state of the economy, and a new CNN Money survey finds economists don't see much of a brighter future. They predict the economy will grow just 2% in the second quarter, with job growth up 3% next year. Overall prices are expected to rise just over 3% this year. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Mike Rowe here with Jim Twitchell, Senior Master Technician for Ford. Jim, a lot of people hear about the works and they figure it's an oil change.
No, Mike, it's not just an oil change. It'll cover everything that your car needs for a scheduled maintenance service.
Get the Works Fuel Saver package for $29.95 or less with $10 rebate, only at your Ford dealer.
What doesn't it include?
That list is probably very short.
Glove compartment, you check that.
Up to 5 quarts of oil, taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. See participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for rebate details through 8/31/11.
Today, I save $15 with my Plus Ups at Rite Aid.
I save $24 with my Plus Ups.
As a Rite Aid Wellness Plus member, you could enjoy average savings of over $100 in Plus Up rewards every week. Just buy select products today and get rewards for even more savings tomorrow. It's like savings on top of your savings with Plus Ups.
I saved $63 this month.
That's the value of wellness. Enroll in Wellness Plus, free today, in-store or at RiteAid.com. Wellness Plus card requires certain limitations. Apply. See your local Rite Aid for details.
The big report on June jobs comes out Friday, but this morning we get mixed news on layoffs. Job outplacement firm Challenger Gray & Christmas says for the first half of this year, announced job cuts total just under 250,000. the lowest level in 11 years. But last month, they trended higher, increasing by more than 4,000, or almost 12%. With all the talk of tech startup booms recently, perks abound for workers of many of these companies. According to the Wall Street Journal, the companies say perks help them attract talented workers. Included are free meals, very relaxed dress codes, and even nap areas. Even as other tech firms look for public stock sales to raise money, Twitter is again headed to the private funding market. There are reports the social blogging site looks to raise hundreds of millions of dollars from private investors. It would value Twitter at about $7 billion. Wall Street stock futures down on a downgrade of Portugal's debt. S&P futures in the red by 6, NASDAQ down by 7. I'm Steve Potusk from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
High gas prices continue to drain wallets.
The question? How will you pay to fuel up?
Crude oil prices remain at record levels.
Tonight's top story, America feeling pain at the pump.
With gas prices so high, how will you fill your tank? It's a question millions of people are asking themselves right now. As an alternative, Americans from all across the country are turning to public transportation as an affordable, dependable option to get them to work, school, and medical care. But Congress is proposing to cut public transportation investments right as our country needs them most. If that happens, our infrastructure won't be ready for the increased ridership, and commuters could be left stranded. Act now at publictransportation.org to tell Congress we need more public transportation, not less. That's publictransportation.org. A message from the American Public Transportation Association.
Mike Rowe here with Jim Twitchell, Senior Master Technician for Ford. Jim, a lot of people hear about the works and they figure it's an oil change.
No, Mike, it's not just an oil change. It'll cover everything that your car needs for a scheduled maintenance service.
Get the Works Fuel Saver package for $29.95 or less with $10 rebate, only at your Ford dealer.
What doesn't it include?
That list is probably very short.
Glove compartment, you check that.
Up to 5 quarts of oil, taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. See participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for rebate details through 8/31/11.
Today I save $15 with my Plus Ups at Rite Aid.
I save $24 with my Plus Ups.
As a Rite Aid Wellness Plus member, you could enjoy average savings of over $100 in Plus Up rewards every week. Just buy select products today and get rewards for even more savings tomorrow. It's like savings on top of your savings with Plus Ups.
I saved $63 this month.
That's the value of wellness. Enroll in Wellness Plus, free today, in-store or at RiteAid.com. Wellness Plus card requires certain limitations apply. See your local Rite Aid for details.
Look around you. Companies sacrifice human health and even life for profit. This is the world in which we live. And these are the lives of our fellow human beings. But we don't have to accept it.
At a time when truth is needed, when courage and strength is rare, when a voice is needed to cut through the lies.
Disagreeing is not enough any longer. In order to mandate change, we must not just show up. Now we must stand up.
It's time for First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome to the third hour of First Shift. And pleasure to be with you. I am Tony Trupiano. We've got a lot of great stuff to get to. In this hour, I want to remind you, at the bottom of the hour, we're going to conclude our two-part interview with Dr. Bruce Levine, author of the book Get Up, Stand Up, a phenomenal book. I've enjoyed it thoroughly, and of course, we have copies to give away, and we've been doing that over the last couple of days, and we'll let you know how you can get your copy as well, so you'll want to stay tuned for that. In this segment, though, and I'm happy to share with you that Stephen Henderson, the editorial page editor of the Detroit Free Press, who we had on a couple weeks ago, and the reaction from you folks was really quite wonderful. We've asked him to join us on a regular basis. He's crazily agreed to do that. Well, maybe not so crazy. And so he joins us in this hour. So let's welcome Stephen Henderson back to First Shift. Stephen, thanks for being with us this morning.
Thanks for having me, Tony.
You know, these are very interesting times, and I have to tell you that when I, on Friday, saw the article that was titled Appeals Court or Panel Strikes Down Michigan's Affirmative Action Ban, I was pretty happy to read that. I was happy to read that. I just want to give people a little background here, though, Stephen, because we need to take people back to 2006. That was the year I ran for Congress. So Proposal 2 then was, of course, one of the issues that, as I knocked on a lot of doors, people asked my opinion on. And, of course, what that ruling or what the Proposal 2 did was ban affirmative action basically as a condition or to be a consideration for admission into colleges, if I understand it correctly.
Well, it actually did more than that. I mean, it prohibited any government entity in the state from considering race in any context. So you're not just talking about colleges and universities. Now you're talking about any place at all in state government or for that matter in local government can't use a policy that is race conscious.
All right. Now, there's an editorial in Sunday's paper. Again, the headline reads, "A mistaken ruling on affirmative action. State law is bad policy, but not unconstitutional," which is the foundation, Stephen Henderson, for our discussion today. And I do want to encourage our audience, if they'd like to ring us up during this segment, to do that at 888-552-3595. Now, why do you feel that? I mean, I understand why you feel it's bad policy, but why not unconstitutional?
Well, I mean, the appeals court in Cincinnati that struck down the proposal to really, I felt like, strained a theory of law that is intended to deal with democratic processes that disenfranchise minority interests, but the logic in this case was nothing like the logic in the precedents, the Supreme Court precedents that they cited. I mean, essentially what they said was this constituted a reordering of the political process. In other words, it made it too hard for minorities to democratically access, this issue. Which it doesn't really. I mean, essentially, this was a referendum that they had to go around the state and collect signatures for, get them on a petition, get it on the ballot, and then they had to win a race statewide. Frankly, proponents of affirmative action could do the same thing and reverse this. I mean, they could circulate a petition, get it on the ballot, campaign hard, and get voters to see it differently. So it's not a different process that they would have to go to do that. And so that's where the appeals court really sort of stretched that theory. And I think that's the reason we're likely to see either a full panel of the Sixth Circuit or the Supreme Court reverse this.
All right. Well, you know, and we'll take people back to 2006, Stephen Henderson. The final tally and the voters approved Prop 2 by the margin of 58-42%, which is a significant victory. There's no question that's a significant victory. But when we break down, you know, the post-election polling, you know, it really was along racial lines. The majority of non-minorities voting for it, the majority of minorities voting against it, vast majorities on both sides, which kind of underscores the ongoing problem.
In some ways. I mean, you do have, and, you know, I would quickly point out that I think that if you had that vote today in Michigan, it probably would look slightly different. I'm not sure it would look totally different. But I think we've made a little bit of progress on that, and that some people are seeing that you know, at minimum, the language in Prop 2 went way further than it needed to. I mean, we still have a society where people of color, for a variety of reasons, don't have the same opportunities as everybody else. And affirmative action was one of the things that we were doing as a nation to try to make up for that. But as you point out, you know, it's very tough to get the majority to see that's necessary, or that there's nothing inherently unfair about that trying to sort of correct unfairness doesn't constitute its own kind of unfairness. And that's a very, very tough argument to make. It's a very, very tough argument to sort of stand up in the face of people who say, well, it's just quotas, or it's letting unqualified people get opportunities they don't deserve. I mean, there are very good answers to that, but they're more complicated than just the simple sort of narrative of quotas or unqualified people. And so that's why we saw those numbers. The other interesting thing about those numbers was the polls before the vote in 2006 showed something different. I mean, right up to the week before the vote, the polls showed that it was going to lose. And so that sort of hints at another problem we have, which is that people don't even want to really be honest about their racial opinions. I think a lot of people who had intended to vote for it were saying they were against it because, well, that's the sort of politically correct thing to say. But of course, when they went into the booth, they did something very different. Well, that makes it even harder, I think, to have that conversation.
Well, yesterday I'm reading in the Free Press, Stephen, that the Grosse Pointe School District is protesting Governor Snyder's plan to make access to all public high schools open as long as there's room. I'm sure you're familiar with that. So,
sure.
And there's a big uproar over that because they're being, the people in Grosse Pointe are being really very honest about where they're coming from. Hey, listen, we voted for a special millage so that we could fund our schools above Proposal A. We move into this district because we know we've got better education. I don't want people from, let's just call it the truth, Detroit coming into our school system.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, that resonated with me in a pretty sour way.
Well, I think you're going to see a lot of that as the governor's proposal to open up school districts sort of goes forward, and as we get closer to the point where he's saying that's got to be the deal, because as you point out, all over Metro Detroit, and the same thing is true in other urban areas of the state, you have school districts that were created to get away from the big city school districts. In the northern part of the Detroit suburbs, Waterford was a district that was created to get away from Pontiac. And you'd have the same issue there of people from Pontiac wanting to go to school in Waterford. That gets to this same sort of issue, which is that, this is not a perfectly integrated society. This is still a state and a country where a lot of people don't want to live in a diverse or put up with diversity in their schools and their homes, in their neighborhoods. I gave the governor some credit for even putting that on the table, because again, it starts this conversation. And at least, as you point out, people in Grosse Pointe are saying now, that's not what we want to do. Now, of course, they're facing that anyway. I mean, you've got tons of people in the city of Detroit who are clamoring to get into the Grosse Pointe schools, in the first place, renting apartments in less expensive parts of Grosse Pointe, if they can, or trying to fake addresses even to get into Grosse Pointe. And that's been a huge issue out there. I mean, they've had some very hefty school board meetings about what to do about that. But at some point, we gotta stop reacting to one another, in that way, and start talking about how we make sure that schools everywhere are good enough, to educate our kids.
Absolutely. Stephen Henderson, my guest. We need to take a quick break here. He is, of course, the editorial page editor of the Detroit Free Press. Feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. I've got something to add to this discussion on the other side of this break. I'm Tony Truppiano. Stay with us. First Shift continues right after this.
First Shift. Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Hey, Tony. You know, I'm not a real liberal guy. I'm not a real union guy. We don't agree on a whole lot, but I really enjoyed your show. You become a new stop in the morning.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update continues to be in great shape all morning long. It's been quiet, clear for the most part. We've just got a few minor pockets of heavy traffic between 75 north and south at 696. The Ruther West coming in, 75, trying to make your way out towards Southfield Road. Nothing like what we normally see, though.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Look for sun and possible thunderstorms today. Our high near 88. Tonight, isolated thunderstorms are possible with a low near 64. Tomorrow, mostly sunny skies. Our high, 82. Last check at Metro Airport, still overcast and 72 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
All of Michigan's top newsmakers talk to Tony Trupiano.
Joining us now is Debbie Stabenow.
Good morning, Tony. It's always great to be with you.
Former Michigan Congressman Mark Schauer.
It's great to be with you, Tony.
Cindy Estrada joins us.
Thank you for having me.
State Representative Harvey Santana. You're a rock star, Bert Bernero.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much. You're too kind, Tony.
And my good friend, Congressman Hanson Clark. Welcome to First Shift.
Tony, it's great being on your show.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Weekdays 6 to 9.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, I'm David Ricklick, President of Investment Solutions, and I welcome you to Your Money Matters, a live and interactive radio show every Sunday morning at 8:30 on 1310 WDTW. Are you worried your financial portfolio is not well diversified? Are you concerned your assets are not properly allocated given the uncertain economic conditions? It is these and other topics that Your Money Matters with Dave and Aaron will discuss. Tune in to learn more with Your Money Matters every Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m.
So Dave and I are here to help and give the latest trends and discuss the economic situation that affects you. See how our family can help your family and listen every Sunday morning at 8:30 live on 1310 WDTW, Detroit's Progressive Talk Station.
The information presented is designed to provide general information on the subjects covered. Please note that Investment Solutions and their representatives do not give legal or tax advice. Securities offered through Questar Capital Corporation, member FINRA/SIPC. Investment Solutions is independent of QCC.
Mike Rowe here talking with Jim Twitchell, a real live Ford service technician, about the importance of scheduled maintenance. But really, Jim, everybody knows it's important, right?
Scheduled maintenance is important. That's what keeps your car running at optimum performance.
Get an oil change and much more with the Works Fuel Saver Package. $29.95 or less after $10 rebate.
So you're kind of like a car doctor.
Definitely a car doctor.
Are you soothing? Do you have a good car side manner?
Most cars tell me so.
Up to 5 quarts oil, taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. See participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for rebate details through 8/31/11.
Don't let gas prices slow down your summer fun. Get 5% cash back when you fill up and use your Discover card. Limitations apply. Learn more details and sign up at Discover.com. It pays to get more. It pays to Discover.
Wish there was a place to go for information from real parents who have been there? Real parents that give you helpful, unbiased information and judgment-free advice? Hi, I'm Stacey Bachman, and on the My Great Kid Radio Show, we bring you interviews with top parenting, education, money, health, and life experts, along with the best tips, techniques, and newest information to make your life less hectic, more productive, and more satisfying. If you've got a family, the My Great Kid Radio Show is for you.
The My Great Kid Radio Show.
Saturdays at 9 a.m. here on WDTW and on the web at My Great Kid.com.
We're bringing the best progressive talk on the radio to Lynette in Detroit, Nick in Wyandotte, Tom in Ypsilanti, Robert in Detroit, Kathy in Southgate, Maureen in Dearborn, and everyone listening to 1310 WDTW, Detroit's progressive talk.
Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. 22 minutes after the hour. Stephen Henderson with the Detroit Free Press. Again, my guests. We're talking about Prop 2 from 2006 and a recent court, district court ruling, appeals court ruling that strikes down that, temporarily anyway, that ruling. And Stephen, as we go back to the discussion about equality in education, equality in society, about affirmative action, about racism, you know, I've served on panels all over the country, and in fact, back in 2003, 2004, even into 2005, I kind of did a national tour with a group of people where we went into communities, especially racially diverse communities, and trying to have real honest and open discourse about these issues, especially as it served education, because ultimately that could and should be the incubator for diversity, in my opinion. There's an amazing opportunity. And you know, I'll never forget the first time that I saw children in kindergarten interacting of all backgrounds, and then saw, you know, again, another group that within similar backgrounds in the ninth grade. And, of course, the difference was fascinating because the kindergartners could have cared less.
Right.
You know, they were just about loving and having fun and learning and raising their hand and being enthusiastic and excited. And those in the ninth grade were like, yeah, I dare you, man. Cross that line. Come on. Do it. Bring it.
Right. Right. I mean, that's one of the things I think as parents we all sort of struggle with. You know, I mean, my wife and I recently moved everybody. We had been living in two states for a while, and our school in Maryland was really diverse. You know, about a quarter African American. There was a big contingent of white students in that school, and the rest of the school was Hispanic. And we were looking for sort of a similar thing here in Detroit, and it's much tougher. Because this is a much, much more segregated place still. And, you know, as you point out, if you don't start early with kids, putting them in those kinds of environments, it's tougher for them to adjust. I mean, it becomes, they learn very early about what other is if they don't see it around them all the time. And if you get them in a context early where there are kids of all kinds of backgrounds, they don't know the difference.
Well, you know, and it's interesting, Stephen, because my youngest just graduated high school, and he has this wonderful diverse group of friends. In fact, you know, the school system that we went to, public school, very diverse. It had also been through a period where we had to go prove our residency because there were a lot of kids coming in from Detroit. Wanted to participate in the school district. So, you know, you had to bring in your utility bill, and there were a couple things. I mean, we had to meet a certain threshold to prove residency.
Yeah.
You know, and as I was, you know, as my son was kind of going through his senior year, and my son played football the entire time, you know, he said to me one day, and it kind of blew me, because I never even realized it. He said, "Dad, do you realize that there were only 7 white kids on the football team this year?" Well, you know, I live in a fairly white area. I live in Dearborn Heights, Stephen. I mean, it's got some racial diversity to it, but mostly it's Arabic and white.
Sure.
But he was right. I hadn't realized that there were only 7 white kids on the team, and I think that's a good thing that I didn't realize. I think it's a good thing that, you know, there was a nice mix of kids on that football team, but you know, that's kind of the exception and not the rule.
Yeah, and especially in Metro Detroit still. I mean, we still have, I mean, you sort of got to go back to the history here and think about how the suburbs developed here as opposed to the way they did in other places. I mean, suburbs here were sort of expressly places that were designed to get away from the city, and where African Americans were legally prohibited in the 50s from taking part in the communities that were springing up. And so, you know, that exacerbated the sort of natural segregation that you would see people sort of gravitate to. And so now we're in a situation where, you know, we still have an incredibly segregated community. That's changing slowly. I mean, you do see a lot of African Americans, particularly in the inner ring suburbs of Detroit now. But you know, if you get far enough out, it's still pretty segregated.
Yeah. Well, and let's kind of bring this before we're out of time in this hour. Let's bring this back to this court ruling. You know, ultimately, Stephen Henderson, we can't legislate morality. We can't force people to integrate, and I mean force them in the literal way. And
sure.
So ultimately, what does this mean? I mean, I know there will be legal challenges, but at the end of the day, at least my opinion, I'm just going to totally own this, I don't see fairness in admissions. I don't see fairness in hiring. And so I believe that, you know, we still need to adopt philosophically affirmative action until society proves it can be fair to itself.
Yeah, well, I mean, I I would agree with you, and I think, but I also think that the tolerance for affirmative action is decreasing pretty fast, and you know, even the Supreme Court, the last time they dealt with this, Sandra Day O'Connor, who wrote the opinion that preserved affirmative action at universities, said, look, this can't go on forever. You know, we got to get to a point where we don't need this kind of crutch to have diversity. And so I think everyone sort of saw that as a signal that, okay, we've got to start talking about what else there is. I mean, unfortunately, since that, and that's 2003 that opinion comes out, you know, you would hope that that would have started a more mature conversation about other ways other than affirmative action programs that we might move forward in terms of integration and opportunity. I can't say I've heard or been part of any of those conversations. We're still fighting over affirmative action as though that's the thing that's gonna fix this. And I think long term, we're gonna need things, lots of different ways to look at this, and some tools that are probably a little more sophisticated and nuanced than the affirmative action programs we see, in order to ensure that opportunity, you know, gets to everybody who deserves it.
Well, and again, you've said a couple times we need to continue to have the dialogue. You know, there's a time where I would have said, well, we're just talking ourselves into doing nothing, but I don't believe that's true any longer. Every opportunity to discuss unfairness, every opportunity to discuss racism, every time we have an opportunity to address it in a responsible manner, I think is the right opportunity. I didn't always believe that, but I do now. I mean, maybe that just comes with age, a little bit of age and maturity, but I will never turn away from that discussion. It happens on the show more often, and surprisingly more often than I think it will. But I'm glad it does, Stephen, and I'm glad that we can still have that discussion.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's an important discussion to have, and there are, you know, opportunity, you know, is still affected by the historical and current racism we see, but it's also affected by lots of other things now. I mean, think of the kids whose economic opportunities are not what they should be. I mean, I think broadening the conversation sometimes to talk about opportunity generally without minimizing the historical connection that African Americans have to lack of opportunity, I think sometimes that helps move the conversation forward.
Absolutely, Stephen. We are just out of time for this week. We'll look forward to seeing you next week. Thanks so much for joining us on a regular basis.
Anytime, absolutely.
All right, Stephen Henderson with the Detroit Free Press. And we continue. Bruce Levine is with us. I'm Tony Truppiano. We'll be back on 1310 WDTW.
Can't get next to you, babe.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update still looks pretty good out there. We have our construction on 59 between Crooks and Updike, and at times we can see a few pockets of heavy traffic, not very much though, more just at the exit ramps between 75 and 59 because many of those are closed, and so as you make your way around the detour, that can sometimes take a little bit of extra time. 59 near 53, we actually look pretty good through there. No big slowdowns at all, but again, we've had lighter than normal traffic all week.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Look for sun and possible thunderstorms today. Our high near 88. Tonight, isolated thunderstorms are possible with a low near 64. Tomorrow, mostly sunny skies. Our high, 82. Last check at Metro Airport, still overcast and 72 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Mike Rowe here talking with Jim Twitchell, a real live Ford service technician, about the importance of scheduled maintenance. But really, Jim, everybody knows it's important, right?
Scheduled maintenance is important. That's what keeps your car running at optimum performance.
Get an oil change and much more with the Works Fuel Saver Package. $29.95 or less after $10 rebate.
So you're kind of like a car doctor.
Definitely a car doctor.
Are you soothing? Do you have a good car side manner?
Most cars tell me so.
Up to 5 quarts oil, taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. See participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for rebate details through 83111.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell. Sting is saying, "Don't stand so close to me," to the state oil company of Kazakhstan. The rocker canceled a concert planned in the country to show his solidarity with oil workers who have been on strike. In a statement, the former frontman of the Police said, "Hunger strikes, imprisoned workers, and tens of thousands on strike represents a virtual picket line, which I have no intention of crossing." Sting has long been a supporter of Amnesty International, which is the organization that petitioned Sting to reconsider hosting a concert in the country. The workers have been on strike since May 26th, and Sting had planned to play at a festival celebrating the founding of the country's capital, Astana. Should U.S. labor have a more radical response to the anti-labor movement? Doug Cunningham reports.
Laborers International Union of North America President Terrence O'Sullivan says it's time for a more radical labor movement in light of the strong attacks on fundamental labor rights. O'Sullivan's remarks came during the 125th anniversary of May Day, commemorated in Chicago's Haymarket Square. It was a rededication of the newly restored monument at the grave of the four Haymarket martyrs, executed in 1887 for the Haymarket bombing. That bombing happened during a rally for the eight-hour day.
Just as the men and women of Haymarket stood united and stood fearless in the face of corporate terror, today we must stand united and stand fearless in the face of corporate tyranny. Instead of being at the wrong end of a Pinkerton's baton, working men and women today are at the wrong end of a lawmaker's gavel or a governor's pen, targets of wealthy special interests who don't want us standing in the way of their greedy agenda. When we're fighting just to hold on to our very lives, there is no movement too radical, and there is no movement too militant.
O'Sullivan audio, courtesy of WORT Radio in Madison.
Michigan has long had one of the highest unemployment rates in the country. The last time the state saw a rate not in the double digits was in November of 2008. However, Michigan Republican and House Ways and Means Committee Chair Dave Camp plans to move forward on three free trade agreements Thursday without the consideration of a plan by the Obama administration to extend aid for workers who lose jobs to overseas competition. President Barack Obama has suggested he won't move forward with the trade agreements unless they include the aid for U.S. workers, which expired in February of this year.
Workers Independent News puts workers and their unions on the national radio news airwaves every day. To help keep labor's voice on the air, go to laborradio.org.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
The time has come. Stand and fight those who would deny your rights. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. You know, this is a kind of a bittersweet way. I would normally begin an interview by saying this is a bittersweet opportunity for us, because we're wrapping up a two-part interview with Bruce Levine, the author of the book Get Up, Stand Up, Uniting Populists, Energizing the Defeated, and Battling the Corporate Elite, because it's kind of a negative way to begin an interview. But I have to tell you that it really is bittersweet, because Jeff and I have so thoroughly enjoyed the book. And as I shared with all of you, and we've probably given away five or six or seven books now, and I did purchase 20, and we're going to give them all away. And what I'd really like to do is get a little study group going, so we still have to articulate how we're going to do that. But instead of wasting my time talking about all this, I can do that tomorrow when Bruce Levine is not with us. He is with us now. We do welcome him back for the second part of our interview on the book Get Up, Stand Up. And Bruce, thanks so much for joining us again. I really do appreciate it.
Sure. Great to be back on, Tony.
You know, I hardly know where to begin, because that means I need to end. I mean, this is really a profoundly important book for me. There's no question about that. So let me just kind of, I'm going to be more generalized, because even though we've got some time, it's not going to be nearly enough. Let's talk a little bit about powerlessness. I know it's learned, but we need to talk today. We literally need to talk today about solutions. But let's lay a little foundation. If people are feeling powerless, I mean, there's fundamentally a good reason for that, is there not?
Sure. I mean, this is like classic. I mean, there's a lot of psychobabble experiments that sort of went out of their way to kind of prove this in the late 60s and early 70s. But for people who have basic common sense, all of these fancy experiments were not really necessary. I mean, what they did, this whole idea of learned helplessness or learned powerlessness, is they took a bunch of animals and put them in situations where no matter what they did, they didn't have any control to stop electroshocks in their lives. And then they put them in other tasks where they actually had ability to kind of stop the pain, just jump over a little barrier, get to another compartment, but the animals would learn helplessness and learn powerlessness. They didn't even try to do any of these. They didn't try to get out of their pain. And so that's what happens to human beings. It's basic common sense that once you've learned over and over again that you have no control over your life, that when you do have opportunities to have some degree of control, you don't take them. You've learned this, that you believe now that you're completely powerless and hopeless. And you see that in what's a really sort of sad thing about American society today is we're aping and copying a lot of third world places and the banana republics, we used to call them, where people have learned that no matter what they do, the rich stay rich and the poor stay poor, and everything's corrupt and they have no control, and they learn a kind of defeatism and fatalism. And people who have been to those kinds of countries, whether it was in the old Soviet Union or some of these places in South America, Central America, they come back to the United States and they go like, oh my God, that's what we're becoming here.
Well, you know, and it's interesting as we, especially in the context of this show, in the context of politics, in the context of what's happening in the state of Michigan and Ohio and New Jersey and lots of other places around the country, all of a sudden people are feeling an itching. They're feeling a wanting. And, you know, and it goes back to, you know, and I shared with you last week, Bruce, you know, my statement, which is it's time not only just to show up, but to stand up. You know, people are now beginning to understand what that means. Anybody can attend, but it's true action that will move us. So can you help us figure out how to move people to action? I mean, beyond just saying, yes, I agree with you, because that's too easy to do.
Well, firstly, we do have the tactics that people who have been in these kind of powerless positions for American history, for world history, there are some basic tactics that people have always used to get back power in their life, and I go through them in the book. Generally, they're withholding cooperation with people who are in power, whether that's a boycott, whether that's a strike, a general strike, a wildcat strike. That's one area. Or some people form alternative systems to the corporate control. So in the Great Populist Movement, 1880s, 1890s, they formed the first large-scale working people's cooperative, and there are still working co-ops that go on today, and I go through them in the book, and producer co-ops. So those are the general tactics that people have used. But what's really key and what's really missing is that kind of energy to do battle, that guts, that courage, that solidarity. So that's why I focus a lot on that, is like, how do we restore that?
Well, you know, and again, because the book is written in a way, you know, and last week I called it the handbook for the First Shift radio program, because it is. You know, when we began this program almost nine weeks ago, Bruce Levine, you know, it really wasn't just about me getting back on the radio so I could hear myself talk. I saw, as did others, people that are supporting this show, sponsors of this program, understand that, you know, the people have felt that they feel a loss. They feel a loss of powerlessness. You know, they feel that powerlessness. You know, they feel like, you know, they don't have a voice. They feel like they have no outlet. And this show is not going to solve all those problems. I'm being realistic here, Bruce. I understand that. But at the same time, you know, all it takes is one committed person at a time to realize that if they embrace a different reality, that energy that they need is actually can be co-opted by being with people of like mind. That people that understand that, you know, it's not about, to me, this isn't about being a Republican and about being a Democrat. To me, it's about being part of a country that knows that we deserve better. Am I on the right track?
You're definitely on the right track. And if you take a look at a little American history, if you go back to January 1776, this was 6 months before the Declaration of Independence, some immigrant comes over to the United States a couple of years prior, a guy named Tom Paine. And he took a look at the landscape and he said, you know, a lot of you future founding fathers are only upset with Parliament's taxation without representation. George Washington's still toasting King George. A lot of these folks are not ready to have a whole independent country and rebel. And here's Tom Paine going like, wait a minute, it's not just the authority of Parliament here that's BS. It's the authority of the monarchy. It's the authority of the East India Corporation that's ruling us in a lot of ways. We can have independence from this place. We don't need them. And that was incredibly taboo. to say that. That's why Common Sense was initially published anonymously. I mean, he would have been, you know, hanged in an instant. Eventually, word got out that it was he was the author, and all of a sudden, within 6 months' time, a lot of these founding fathers who just wanted to kind of get rid of these taxes and have more representation in Parliament, they're going like, hey, the heck with this thing. Everybody in America is really excited about this book called Common Sense. Ultimately, about a fourth of America read that. If it was today, it would be about 50, 60 million people would have read that, the equivalent of it. And everybody got excited. It's like, wait a minute, we don't need these guys. We could have our own country. And that's how things spread. I mean, if you take a look at the abolitionist movement in America, I mean, initially there were some guys who had enough guts and enough courage to form something called the Underground Railroad, which seemed outrageous at the time. We're just going to go down there and help these folks escape from their slavery. It takes a lot, enormous. There's nothing that takes more guts and more courage than that to try to help people do that once you're already free. And for those people, the few people on the plantation who said, look, I'm going to give it a try. Most didn't. Most said, you're crazy. You know, they'll kill us. They'll whip us. It'll be horrible. But a few people said, no, you know, it's worth the chance here. You know, having a chance at freedom is a much better deal than being a slave for the rest of our life. So some people took off, and word got back that, wait a minute, you know, they were successful. And that's how things start. A few people with some guts, with some courage here, who are asserting initially, which seems like some outrageous things. Initially, same thing in the labor movement. When people came up with the idea in the 1930s that, wait a minute, the only way that we're going to gain collective bargaining rights for the UAW, which didn't really exist. I mean, they were trying to form the United Auto Workers in the 30s, was we're going to have to take over this plant in Flint, Michigan. Yes, we're going to have to take that over. I don't care what the law says here that this might be considered illegal. It's the right thing to do here. They're not giving us any collective bargaining. We're getting paid like crap. We have to raise our hand to go to the bathroom here. We're getting treated like wage slaves here, not like human beings, and we're going to take over this plant here to get collective bargaining rights here. And they did it. I mean, that took an enormous amount of courage and guts. You had 20-25% unemployment in the Depression there, and they pulled it off. They pulled it off with guts and ultimately huge amounts of solidarity from the people of Michigan, from farmers who supported them. They got food into that plant there, and they won these battles with support of other other General Motors workers around that part of the world. So all of these things that are done, if you take a look at American history, start with a few people saying things that at the time seem outrageous, seem like they're impossible, but some people believe that, hey, with some guts, with some intelligent, risky tactics and strategy but they're intelligent strategies, and ultimately the most really important thing is gaining solidarity, having the power of numbers, that things can be pulled off.
Well, you know, and again, as I was going through, especially, you know, the last part of the book, the chapter 4, chapter 5, and some of the subsections, I'm just going to mention a couple. We've got to take a break here in just a minute or two. But when you write about forging an alliance among populace and an inspiration to overcome distrust, which was to me critical to the entire movement and the collective self-confidence, the solidarity and success. You know, we need each other. We need these reminders. We need that foundation as we move forward. Because, you know, honestly, Bruce, you know, starting today or starting yesterday or the day before or tomorrow, wherever people are at, we can turn this thing around. This doesn't have to be about November of 2012. This can literally be about today. We've got about 30 seconds to the break, Bruce.
Absolutely. I mean, that's my point here. People in much more dire circumstances than we are in today. Like I said, slaves on plantations, people in concentration camps. I mean, much more horrible, oppressive situations than we are today. There were some people with guts and some people with solidarity that began turning things around.
And there still are people like that. Bruce Levine, my guest, the book, Get Up, Stand Up. We're going to take a quick break here. We'll come wrap up on the other side. This is Tony Trupiano on Michigan's only progressive talk show, heard only right here on 1310 WDTW.
The hottest Michigan news talk is on First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org,
That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Mike Rowe here talking with Jim Twitchell, a real live Ford service technician, about the importance of scheduled maintenance. But really, Jim, everybody knows it's important, right?
Scheduled maintenance is important. That's what keeps your car running at optimum performance.
Get an oil change and much more with the Works Fuel Saver Package. $29.95 or less after $10 rebate.
So you're kind of like a car doctor.
Definitely a car doctor.
Are you soothing? Do you have a good car side manner?
Most cars told me so.
Up to 5 quarts oil, taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. See participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for rebate details through 8/31/11.
Come on in. Oh, let me help you with that.
Thanks. I got the wine and the dessert. The steaks smell delicious. And look at the flowers. You always have such beautiful, fresh flowers. You must spend a fortune at the florist.
I grow them in my basement. I bought a hydroponic system from Light Green Water. It just takes a little time and some electricity. And it's not just the flowers. I grew the greens for our salad and a couple of vegetables. Come on, I'll show you.
Wow. It's so warm and sunny. It's like being on a tropical island.
Wait until I turn on the sound machine.
It's like you've got your own private Garden of Eden. Maybe we should dress like Adam and Eve.
Light Green Water has everything you need to grow a garden inside your home. Light Green Water is located at 3661 Highland Road in Waterford. That's M59, a quarter mile west of Cass Lake Road. Light Green Water, hydroponic equipment and supplies.
Recently on First Shift,
NBA veteran and former star of the Michigan Fab Five, Jalen Rose.
There's no way we can help turn around the fate of our great city if we're not educating our youth. Now, you know what those numbers will do. They'll increase the crime rate. They will increase the poverty rate. They'll increase the migration rate of families who now feel like they need to move out of the Detroit area to really find quality schools and opportunity and jobs for their families.
First Shift with Tony Trippiano on 1310 WDTW. Call Tony and tell him what's on your mind. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Be unafraid, ladies and gentlemen. Be unafraid. In the book, Bruce Levine's book, Get Up, Stand Up, Winning the Battle. Let me read. The corporatocracy will always label its disruptors with pejoratives such as criminals, terrorists, insurgents, or mentally disordered. But depending on how the disruption works out, history books may well describe these disruptors as heroes. And Bruce Levine, certainly, there is some great truth to that. This idea that we are alone, that we are isolated, you know, that even if we know that others think like us, we don't think what? That there are enough of us, or I don't want to be the first one out there. I don't want to be the one to get their hand slapped. You know, there's a pain aversion thing going on. At the end of the day, you know, and I guess I'm willing to get my hand slapped, but at the end of the day, what I really hope to accomplish through the book, Get Up, Stand Up, what I really hope that we can kind of, more than tickle people and tease them to do, is to literally get up and stand up, to understand that in order to take back this democracy that truly is ours, Bruce, I mean, at the end of the day, it is our democracy. We have a right to it. We have a right to protect ourselves. And I'm not, you know, I'm not suggesting anything beyond the First Amendment right to peacefully protest. But we need to do it, and we need to do it now.
Right. One of the things I think that people who've never participated out there, maybe we could talk to some of those folks out there who've just never participated, is they sort of see the landscape, they see how much power the government has and these corporations have, and, you know, they feel like, you know, the whole thing's a scam and it's crooked and on, what's the point? You move into kind of a, not only a helplessness and hopelessness, but a cynicism. And I totally understand that. There's totally a reasonable way to feel. But I think one of the things that people who've never participated don't understand that is that if you get in the battle, Even if you don't win an immediate victory, and lots of and there are a few victories that are won immediately, whether it was in the abolitionist movement and the labor strikes in the 30s and the wildcat strikes in the 1970s. I mean, but what happens is you do get rewards right away. You do get comrades. You do get solidarity. And so I'll give you an example for myself. I mean, just back, I had not participated in the mental health treatment reform movement until, you know, almost 20 years ago. And I just was getting disgusted and sick about how pharmaceutical companies were making up these diagnoses and drugging 3-year-olds and 4-year-olds and not really caring about like the environments that they're in, keeping these schools that were boring and 40 kids in a classroom. So, you know, you created kids who couldn't pay attention because you didn't give teachers a chance to give enough individual attention to kids. And a lot of these so-called diagnoses and these druggings were unnecessary. And finally, at some point, I got disgusted and I started writing some letters to the editor, started putting myself out there publicly. Well, the first thing that happened is other people got a hold of me, and before I knew it, I had more friends than I, you know, out there in the world or places around not only the United States but around the world that you develop some community, you develop some friends, and that's already a good feeling. And so for a lot of people out there who feel completely like there's no point in this, you're not going to win, they don't realize that you can get a lot of things even before you achieve that victory. It's called friendship, it's called community, it's called solidarity, and that's already a good feeling.
Well, again, it is a good feeling. You know, and I can't begin to tell you, Bruce, how many of our conversations on this show over the last 2 weeks have begun with the words in Bruce Levine's book, because it helps explain, and you've helped explain in really very clear and demonstrable ways how we can move people to action. That is crystal clear. And I'm only addressing this, although it gets a little bit away, although it's part of the book, it gets a little bit away from, I guess, the overall theme of why we originally had you here. But this idea of student loan debt and the way that you have addressed it in this book multiple times, this is not just a single conversation in the book. This indentured servitude you talk about really blew my mind. Jeff and I had a pretty powerful conversation about this off the air as well. I mean, you know, we have a troubled society. We better start paying attention.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the major spokes in the wheel that is keeping our people passive, and especially our young people. If you take a look at most democratic movements around the world that are going on today in American history, they're often fueled by young people because historically they don't have family responsibilities. They feel like they can kind of get in the fray and can take more risks. And when you've broken the population of young people, which increasingly American society is doing, that's really scary. And one of the big ways you've mentioned is this student loan debt and indentured servitude. And I should tell young people out there, this is not like gravity. Most of the rest of the world, the government doesn't support useless wars. They're supporting people going to college. And that's why most of the world, people walk out without this ridiculous student loan debt, which I, you know, late 1970s, mid-1980s, I was able to go to undergraduate, graduate school, go all the way through, get a PhD, go to public institutions. I worked some, but I didn't have to have 3 jobs to walk out of there without any student loan debt, and so it was quite possible. Tuition in public universities was very low. In some places it was zero, like the City University of New York. And what's happened here is very simply, rich people don't want to pay taxes. We've allowed them to do that, so there's less money in the government. What money is left in the government goes for wars that we really don't even understand why we're there, and it doesn't pay things like supporting education and college and supporting folks with grants. And, you know, what happens to people is they just sort of accept that. And one of the things that I talk about with young people is not to accept that. And if these folks, there's a lot of different ideas that I have in the chapter of solutions of how to walk out in the world without any kind of debt, student loan debt, but also to minimize that. And I do that in my counseling sessions with families, and I do it in a lot of different ways to try to lower or completely eliminate the student loan debt until the time comes comes when we could actually have enough power over our government officials, when we take back our government, and that day it'll become very easy that we're not spending wars supporting rich people and giving corporate welfare and supporting these wars, and we're supporting our middle class and working class people. But until that day comes, there's still a lot of other things that we could be doing to reduce our debt slavery.
Well, our continued support of your book will is ongoing, and I wanted to give my producer Jeff an opportunity to say hello to you and to thank you. Jeff is really the one that when he first got the book, he had asked me, "Hey Tony, did you pick it up yet?" I hadn't, and I'm glad that he got me on it when he did. So, Jeff, if you want to just say a quick word to Bruce, I wanted to give you that opportunity.
I just thought it was a great book, and from the minute I read it, Tony was getting sick of me constantly saying, hey, by the way, this relates to this book that we're going to have Bruce Levine on. So just want to thank you for writing the book, and I enjoy it thoroughly.
Well, thank you, Jeff. I really appreciate that. And I should tell you, there's a lot of folks who really get it out there. For another big hope that I experience that I want to communicate to your audience here is that, sure, the people at the very top of our society, the people who are making $10, $15 million a year reading the evening news on ABC and CBS, they don't get what the heck I'm talking about. But the vast majority of Americans do. They understand what's going on, and they understand that we're all moving into this kind of helpless palace, and they're looking for answers, and that's what I try to get this discussion going.
You did it, Bruce. We're out of time. I don't think this is the last time we talk, and I want to again thank you. We're just out of time for today. We will continue the conversation on our end, I promise you.
Okay.
All right.
Good.
Bruce Levine, once again. Folks, we are out of time for today. I want to thank Jeff and Todd for all of their work. The song of the day is on the website, on the Facebook site. We're just out of time, folks. I'm Tony Truppiano. We'll see you tomorrow. As always, I ask that you be well.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update. It's been nothing but a good ride since about 6 o'clock this morning. We've had light traffic, no big delays or slowdowns, even through our construction zone. Looks like only pockets of the occasional heavy traffic along Southfield Freeway, M39, between roughly Michigan and Grand River. Only one lane open north and south. It's closed completely from Grand River to M10. Greenfield, Evergreen, and Telegraph are the ways around that.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Look for sun and possible thunderstorms today. Our high near 88. Tonight, isolated thunderstorms are possible with a low near 64. Tomorrow, mostly sunny skies. Our high, 82. Last check at Metro Airport, still overcast and 72 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Truppiano...